We're now on the sexual roadmap. This part of the program is specifically geared towards laying out the significant milestones that lie between when you first meet a woman, when you make that first eye contact, and the eventual whoopee in the bedroom, right? We want to know what all the little stepping stones are in between, because there's a few landmarks you really need to know about, and some landmines, unfortunately, to be able to navigate that territory well. So let's start with the process of learning and what the sexual roadmap is all about. And the process of learning goes back to a concept that's pretty much, it's in every area of self-growth and self-learning, really. And it's also independent of you. In other words, whether you like it or not, these are going on behind the scenes. The first stage in the process of learning is that you are unconsciously incompetent, meaning that you don't know that you don't know. You don't know what it is you're doing wrong, or you don't know how to do it. And you know, this is nowhere more apparent than when you take on a new hobby or you try a new sport. You start karate for the first time, the first class you go to, well, then you become consciously incompetent, which means you know or you're aware that you're not competent at this particular thing, and you need to develop that. These are the first stage is probably the easiest to get past, because you don't realize that you're even there until it's pointed out, until you actually choose something that you want to do that you don't know how to do. And then you immediately go into the consciously incompetent mode. That's if you have a healthy ego and a healthy self-perception, because a lot of guys can still sit in a case of denial where they won't even let themselves admit to themselves that they are incompetent at this new skill. The next stage is you become consciously competent. Okay, so you work hard after you realize, oh, you know what? I really don't know what I'm doing. I got to work hard at this. I got to get better. After practice and practice and practice, you become consciously competent. And then the ultimate, if you will, in the acquisition of a skill is to become unconsciously competent. In other words, you know what you're doing so well that you're not even aware that you know what you're doing. It's just happening. And that's the state of flow that is often talked about in modern literature and a lot of stuff that you hear about these days. The state of flow being that state that you get into where time seems to pass like unbelievably fast. You lose yourself in whatever it is you're doing. You're not even aware that you exist. You and the activity almost become one. It's a very spiritual, almost zen-like state that you get into, and it's really awesome. I get there all the time when I'm playing guitar. You become very, you have to be, first of all, because you can't make the music do what you want to do. You have to be part of the music and go along with the music. And it goes with anything else, with the martial arts. I have to go quickly from consciously incompetent, if I don't know a new technique, to consciously competent, okay, I can do this thing, to then being able to do it without thinking about it. And that's where the most repetition is usually involved, going between steps 3 and 4. So be aware of the 4 steps in the process of learning, because they will give you a clue as to where you're at and how you need to work at it. If you're unconsciously incompetent, you don't know. You just need to seek out the information. When you're consciously incompetent, you need to seek out the training and the guidance to be able to get that skill correctly, which is where you may be coming into this program. You may be consciously competent in many of the areas that we're talking about with sexual power. That's fine too. In that stage, you want to practice and repeat. You don't want to add new material. You want to just keep practicing and repeating until it becomes unconsciously competent. Okay? All right, so elevating your social status. What is this about? There's a really important thing you have to understand when it comes to sexual power, and especially in the roadmap of going from just meeting a woman to getting her to the bed and to the bedroom and getting to sex, or whatever your goal may be in terms of intimacy, okay? So the truth is that could be any number of goals, even short of having sex with a woman. One of the things you want to do is to be able to AMOG guys out nicely. Now, I'm going to close that for a second while I talk about this. If you're not familiar with what AMOG means, it means alpha male, other guy, or it means the other dude that may be horning in on your space that's competing with you for this particular woman or whoever it may be, okay? Now, you got to be able to learn how to AMOG guys out nicely, not aggressively, because the alpha man does not do that. He just simply doesn't. Not because he's some goody two-shoes, but because he understands that physical confrontation or physical violence should be avoided in all situations. That's what I do in all situations. Even though I know I could handle myself in a physical altercation, I'm not going to try and create that just to satisfy my sense of tough guy, right? So I'll give you an example of a story, and I've talked about this one before. It's very important to be able to pull up a good example. There was a time a few years back when I was seeing this one gal, and she was real, let's just say hot. She was hot. And she and I had known each other for years, and this is our first opportunity to get together because she finally was between boyfriends and, you know, circumstances come around. So we know what's going to happen, but we're getting together. We're meeting at this bar in a local area here on the peninsula near San Francisco. And I meet her there. I get there late at night. It wasn't that late. It was somewhere close to 11-ish or something like that. I had just gone to some mixed martial arts thing. And I met her there. And sure enough, I come in and, you know, I've been texting her the whole way, letting her know where I am and all that. I get there and there's a guy talking to her. Now, how could I have handled that situation? I could have immediately gone, oh, man, some other dude's trying to get my girl. You know, I could have gone in that route. I could have gone, dude, what are you doing, man? Get the fuck away from my girl. You know, I got that aggro thing going on. But I didn't. What I did is I walked up and I introduced myself politely. I'm like, hey, man, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? I'm Carlos. Yeah. Yeah, cool. How you doing, Jeff? Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool, man. You know, I just totally played the friendship thing, right? And I'm like, oh, how do you guys know each other? And he's like, oh, and then you tell the guy was sloppy drunk and she didn't even want him around, but I had to play this along, right? The second I get jealous and aggro and weird, she's going to be weirded out and not sexually attracted to me. So, yeah, sure enough, within 2 or 3 minutes, he's kind of like, oh, man, you know, I didn't mean to interrupt you and your girl and everything, man. I'm leaving. That's cool. And he's sloppy drunk. He's stumbling, but he's you know, perfectly fine. And she really, really liked the way I handled that because I didn't have to go in all aggro. I knew that I had my value going into the situation. That's how you A-mug a guy out nicely, is you're really cool about it. You don't, if you have to do it mean, then that shows that you really are insecure, and that's going to immediately lower your value. Again, social status. How would the top dog act? He would not act like he's a jealous, you know, total insecure freak. So use that. Use humor to lower the status of others. This is a very effective tactic as well, and I can't go into all these details I would like to in the roadmap about this, because this is actually kind of a tangent topic in itself. But using humor to lower the status of other people is a very effective way of amogging other guys out, of kind of nudging them out of the picture. And the reason why is because humor itself is, you can always blame it on, dude, I was just messing with you, man. Dude, I was so totally fucking with you. As a matter of fact, that's one of the tactics that I use on a regular basis, is you can do this. There's guys I've known that do this all the time where they mess with a guy really, really hard. I mean, to the point where you're thinking they're really trying to be a dick to him. And the other guy, if he starts to pick up on that, he'll be like, hey, man, that ain't funny. You know, he gets all indignant. And the other guy's like, oh, dude, come on. We were totally messing with you. Totally messing around. You know, of course they weren't. They were trying to push his hot buttons. They try to get him to that point where he gets all... And when once a guy has gone to that zone, he looks like the dick. It doesn't matter who else pushed him there. If he let himself get into that emotional state, his social status becomes lowered immediately. So you have to be able to watch out for that from other guys trying to turn you into the dick, and your ability to be able to push others to the point of making themselves look like dicks. Because that's really where it lies. That's power right there, where you can be like, oh, it wasn't me, man. I was just messing around with you. You're the one who's getting all freaky and weird. And of course, the woman will see this and immediately lose her attraction for him, right? Okay. So you do this until there's a selection signal from her that says you're in. In other words, you have to maintain high social status and social status presence. I don't mean this to infer that you need to be the what we push off a lot is the high status male thing where, actually, it's not even so much high status male as it is the man who's the prize. He's the one with all the value, superior value, higher, displaying higher value, that sort of thing. Guys get really hung up on that. And if you push that as a point, it won't be believed. It won't be trusted. It won't be truthful. So keep in mind, though, that you do need to elevate your social status relative to other people as much as possible through legitimate means. And you keep doing it until there's a signal from the woman that says, oh, wow, cool. You walk like you own the world, okay? Social power is an internal and external signal to your brain that you're important. In other words, having social power tells other people that you're important, but it also reinforces to you that you're important. I have to admit, I have some friends that I've made in the last year that are very powerful, wealthy, influential, and successful men. And I feel myself privileged to be their friends, of course. But it's also a real signal to my brain. You know what? If I can hang with these dudes, I'm worthy, man. I am in that class. I'm in that league. I can totally hang with those dudes. That's an incredible message to your subconscious mind, and it's one that you need to leverage. It's also the foundation of social power, really. Walking like you own the world, like you do, and it's a certain amount of self-delusion, but it's a healthy self-delusion. It's not that you really think you're the hottest shit anywhere or anything like that, but you do have to carry that a bit of that fake it till you make it, or show it before you've made it. Because really, in all reality, any person that's gotten to any place in his life has felt himself worthy before he got there. Nobody got there not feeling like they're worthy or not believing that they had the ability to get where they wanted to go. Okay? I guarantee you, every single one of those people that competes in the Olympics or, you know, for any year believed at some level that they could do it, right? Their coaches got them in the mindset through training, through practice, through hard repetition, but they believed it. They believed they could do it. And that belief, like you own the world or you own whatever it is you're going after, will be your foundation. The seven types of social power, I'm going to go through these really briefly. I cover this in much more detail in other programs, but we're going to talk about it really briefly here because you do need to understand power, the essence of power, not just sexual power, but power, period. There are seven types of social power overall. There is reward power. This is the ability to give rewards for anything, right? If I have the ability to pay you your paycheck every week, I have reward power over you. You're going to keep coming to work because you can keep getting a paycheck. It's kind of sad when that's the only motivation for a lot of people. There's coercive. That's where I can do the other side of that. I can inflict pain if you don't do what I say you're going to do. If I'm a slave master or if I'm some evil dude that's got you as my captive and I'm making you build my pyramids or whatever it is, I'm the coercive influence there, right? Having both of those is also, it's a double whammy. It's a double decker right there. Being able to reward and give pain gives you a lot of power over people. Not the kind of power you want to use in exercise, though, in today's modern society. You can't own slaves. You can't be, you might not necessarily be able to pay the person, but you have to understand how those two work. These are very powerful. Mix them with others and you can be more powerful. Referent power is respect or the esteem of others, okay? In other words, they respect you or they hold you in high esteem. People of high social caliber could qualify for this. Somebody that you've heard of. I mean, if you didn't know about, you know, if you were, I'll give an example of Mother Teresa, you know, who's since passed away. She had an incredible amount of respect and esteem built around her, and she would have power by virtue of that. Okay, there's legitimate social power. This is authority in position. This means I am an authority and I can tell you what to do. I can be a cop. I can be I'm in an armed force like the Army, the Navy, the Marines, whatever. I could be one of the commanding officers. There's a chain of command there. That's legitimate authority in position. Most guys rely way too heavily on this one. I'm going to warn you about that. This is one that a lot of guys abuse. When you abuse authority and position that's given to you, you look like a dick. You immediately look insecure. You do not have the kind of social pressure and influence you think you have. And the first thing that people will do is resent you for it. And they will do anything they can to undermine you. Expert power. Expert social power. Expert is recognized expertise. Okay? Another one that guys rely way too heavily on. In other words, if I'm an expert at something, maybe I'm an expert at computers. You see this all the time in the tech department of any firm where they're, you know, these guys are the ones that fix the PCs and they feel like they get a little bit of power. If you talk to any help desk of any company, you know what I'm talking about here. These guys feel like they can lord it over you. Yeah, but you know what? You were probably just running too many applications. You know, you need to. You know, they get all this haughty tone with you, like they know better than you how to use this technology. That's expert. Okay. Informational is also another kind of social power. Informational is the control of information. Do you control information? Another one that guys rely too heavily on. It's very closely related to expert. If you have the information, you can use that as power. I'll tell you something, right? Women use this quite a bit, don't they? Yes, they do, in the form of rumors and, you know, their little clicky social things that they do. They use informational power left and right. Connection. Connection power is who you know. It's the influence of leaders and people. You know, if you're a friend of the president, you got a little power there just by virtue of the association. So there you go. Seven types of social power, the ones you want to know and understand. Now, all of them are important. All of them you need to know how they work, okay? Connection power is good and important because it'll force you to expand your social circle. Informational can be good if you don't rely on it too heavily. The same with expert. Knowing information is good. Legitimate authority, difficult. I mean, guys work to get this and then they kind of lay back and take it easy because now they got their position, right? That's why it's one of the easiest ones to lose. So be careful of legitimate power and the lures that it has. Referent power is very important. This one is one of the ones I recommend you work on the most. Getting people's respect and esteem by virtue of not using the other ones is probably one of the most powerful forms of power due to the nature of it, because it undermines all the other ones. Coercive and reward in its own place can be helpful and can be useful. Network with powerful people. You want to raise your social status. Again, all these things create sexual attraction in a woman. And this might have been a topic that would have been better to cover in psychology, but I felt it was necessary to cover here because this is one of the preliminary social steps. One of the sexual power steps you need to take is to build your social status. Network with powerful people. Get connected. Start a mastermind or get into a mastermind. If you don't know what a mastermind is, you need to read the book by Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich. It'll tell you exactly what that is. It's basically a group of people that get together and share ideas, concepts, knowledge to solve each other's problems. A very powerful tool, and most people will never understand this one. If you know how to use this, you will go further than 90 to 95% of the people out there. And I'm not exaggerating one bit. I'm in several masterminds, and I treasure the ability to be in them. You can posture your way into almost any circle. Trust me on this one. I've done that. You can fake your way into almost any social circle that you want to get networked with these powerful people. All you have to do is pretend. One of the simplest ways is simply to become your own publication or your own press. Start a web page or a blog that maybe is based around a topic or some special area. Then you become a reporter, essentially, right? I'm from suchandsuch.com, and I'm here to ask about, you know, you can do interviews based on that. Trust me, I've used this left and right. I couldn't believe it when I was like, man, I'm interviewing people like this? I what the heck? All you have to do is assume that you are of that level and caliber, and they will pay attention to you as if you are. Know as many people as you possibly can. It goes without saying. Wherever you go, you should be trying to know more people. It's as simple as that. Just know more people. At restaurants, get to know the wait staff, get to know the owners. You know, every so often you can actually ask and say, hey, can you send the owner out? I'd love to talk to him for a second. It's nothing to complain about. I would just love to, you know, tell him what great service I got here and you know, tell him what I thought of the place. He'll be out there and he'll be talking to you and he'll be, you know, it almost never happens. They almost never get asked that. And you, by virtue of doing that, you're going to impress the woman that you're with. You're going to impress the wait staff, especially if you commend them to the owner of the establishment. Oh, dude, you're setting yourself up for such great networking, great connectivity there. It's a simple trick and nobody does it. At bars and clubs, you should be able to know the people that work there, right? Know those people and frequent people too. Get to know people who know those people. That's another way to get in. They'll introduce you. At the bookstores you go to, I'm just pulling stuff out of my butt here, but you get the point. Anywhere you go, you can start to develop more of a reach in your social network. At the bookstores, you got to know the cashiers, you got to know the managers, you got to know the people that work in the different sections. The more people that you know, the better you will look. Because when you start going to these places and you happen to have a woman with you, and there's somebody there that knows you and says hey or says hi, that's impressive. That is incredibly impressive because most people walk around through life with a veil of anonymity all over themselves where they are not known by anybody and don't care to be known, quite honestly. That's a sign of power. When people know you and want to reconnect with you, it's power. Never skip the opportunity to learn a person's name. Knowing people's names gives you a lot of power as well, a lot of sexual power. One of the things that's a great big turn on for women is when you use their name when you're talking dirty to them. Don't tell them I told you that one. That one's a good one. This is all covered in Power Social Skills, by the way, which you can get at www.powersocialskills.com. I just wanted to cover some of the topics from there that could benefit you here in this program. All right, so elevating your social status, incredibly powerful as a tool for sexual attraction as well as social attraction. Handling the stepping stones. How do we handle them? every new thing will be a chance to move forward and escalate. In other words, every new interaction you have with this woman will be a chance for you to move forward and push the interaction towards more attraction and sexual attraction. It's absolutely essential that you own the process and know what to do when the time comes. That's why I'm going to lay this out as a roadmap, so that when you see the signs, when you recognize where you are, you can manage it. Okay? It's like a sailor being on a boat in the middle of the ocean. When they recognize that the stars have changed to a certain point, they'll recognize where they are in terms of latitude and longitude, and they can affect their course. The same thing for you. You'll know how far you are, you'll know how much faster you can go or how much slower you need to go to make it happen. So it's very essential that you own this process. You own the process. Now, when I say by own the process, it means that you have to take ownership of it. It's like you literally bought this whole process of getting a woman sexually attracted to you. You own it, and now you have to make it happen. Or it's like an engine that you got to tear apart and put back together, or an engine you got to pull the cord on and get it started up. You own it. Nobody else is going to do this for you. It's not going to just happen. It's not going to fall into your lap. And recognize you may not handle it correctly the first few times. And definitely not perfectly. It won't be a perfect seduction every single time. If it is, you know, count your blessings, but it's going to be a rarity. You might not handle it perfectly, and that's okay the first couple of times. You're trying to develop experience. As soon as you get a few layers of experience, you're going to experience the fact that you have more options, because you'll know where you are much better. You'll have a feel for it. It won't be as unfamiliar. And when things become unfamiliar, they tend to be more intimidating. That's why we're looking to get this process as familiar as possible. If you can't lead her through these steps, she's going to lose sexual attraction for you. That's the bottom line when it comes to these stepping stones and the roadmap that I'm about to talk about. Okay, this is all about escalation. It's all about getting things more and more sexually charged with a woman. And if you can't lead her through those steps, you'll lose sexual attraction. It's like tug of war. I think I've talked about this. If you're playing a game of tug of war, if you're not pulling on the rope, if you're just trying to hold position, you're going to lose, because the other team's just going to either lose interest or they'll just pull you right over, right? But if you struggle to maintain position, or if you just stand there not trying to make any advancement, it's actually the same thing as falling behind. Remember that sex has rhythm. Sex has rhythm. From the very first moment you meet her to the time that you finally bump uglies, there is a rhythm of energy going back and forth. It's a build-up, a slight drop, a build-up, a slight drop, a big build-up, a slight drop. You're going to feel these little rhythms and patterns in the process of interaction. Respect that rhythm. I talk about it as that sawtooth rhythm, right? It goes up, and there's a slight release of pressure, and then it goes up again, and then a slight release. But what a lot of guys do is they build up a little bit of sexual attraction and intention, and they drop it all down to zero by supplicating, by turning into a wimp. Don't do that. Remember, this sawtooth pattern equals push-pull. I push her away, I pull her back in. I push her away, I pull her back in. That back and forth motion lets her know that she's free to go if she wants to, but why would she want to? She's getting so much more out of the interaction and the change in dynamics of the energy. Sex has rhythm, but also sex has tension to it. Recognize that tension. Tension is good. There's a positive tension, just like there's a positive stress on your nervous system. There's two kinds of stress. There's distress and there's eustress. You may have heard this before, but there are. Distress is the stress that most people go through at work and through their lives. It's the stress that they causes sickness, hypertension, heart attacks, and sickness, and depression, and all that. That's the bad kind of stress. There's eustress, which is the positive form of stress. This is the stress that makes us grow. And that tension that we feel within attraction situations, I guess you call it, with women, that tension is good and positive, and you have to recognize it and nurture it. All right, so that's something about how to handle these stepping stones. Let's talk about the model here, the roadmap, then we'll go into some details. There are 10 steps in the escalation roadmap. The first step is the meeting or introduction. This is for the first moment you meet a woman. This is the first important milestone. By the way, you should be taking notes on this, because these are the key landmarks you should be looking out for, okay? But the meeting or introduction is the first one of those. It even really technically begins at first eye contact, because that's kind of where everything starts. If it doesn't go from eye contact to an actual meeting or introduction, it didn't count in the first place. There's nothing happened there. But there's always something that happens to begin this interaction with a woman and the start the friendship chain. Number two is you have some kind of electronic communication or conversation with a woman. All right, not just the verbal talking when you're in person and present, but the electronic. And in the case of online dating, the electronic conversation actually precedes the meeting or introduction in a weird sort of way. But electronic conversation is in there much more than ever, especially in this modern world where we're texting, where we're emailing, where we're trading information on Facebook and Twitter and all those things. Electronic communication comes in all the time. Phone conversation is another one of those roadmap points that you have to look out for. A phone conversation is, of course, it's conversation with a woman, but it also allows you to get a little bit more verbal. Phone conversations with women are very, very important. I don't want you to overlook them because they are powerful with women. Women love that because they're very sexually tuned into audible cues, things that are said to them, things that are spoken, words that are spoken have much more impact than almost anything else. Number four is the first date. First date is that first time you spend some concentrated time alone with her and she agreed to it, so there must be some level of attraction there, right? So these kind of wind themselves up quickly into that first date. That's the first chance you get to show who you are, to develop the attraction through constructive push-pull. Number five is first kiss. What else can there be but that first moment where you finally kiss her and you know absolutely that there is sexual attraction there. That's really what the first kiss is for guys, is it's proof positive that she really is actually interested in him or you, whatever, right? I mean, it's the moment where you're like, oh, okay, everything I was doing was on the mark, you know, I didn't just ask out some chick who's taking me for a ride here. She actually does dig me. It's a proof. It's probably the most significant one for a guy next to sex because of what it signifies, which means this means she is into you. She does dig you. Six is continuing. Now, continuing is a little bit more vague. It's almost like a little cloudy step in the process. By continuing, what I mean is it's another step in getting her interested. It's the repeat performance. And it's important because it's a big milestone to get repeated interest from a woman. In other words, you go through all these first steps here. You go through 1 through 5. Okay, you meet her, get introduced, there's electronic conversation, maybe, or you talk on the phone, you set up and you go on the first date, you get a first kiss. The most significant thing that can happen after that is that it happens again. Sex doesn't have to happen, but just getting back to another date, another interaction in person is really, really important. It's a significant one, as many guys know. It's also a difficult one. Getting repeat interest means you had to have done everything right on that first date. All right. Seven is more sexual contact, meaning you take it to the next level in terms of your physical touch. It's no longer just kissing, it's caressing, it's touching, it could be erotic touching, it could be sexual touching that doesn't involve penetration or sex, right? As a matter of fact, that's really where it falls short of. So any additional sexual contact is more escalation and development towards sex. Eight is sex. Congratulations, kaboom, you got there, you got to the bedroom, you got some nookie, you got the big whammalama, you're in. Well, yeah, okay, but there is more after that. A lot of guys think this is the last step, but it's not. There's also love and intimacy. Think about that for a second. Sex does not mean love, all right? Anybody can have sex. You don't even have to like a person to have sex. Trust me, I've worked that one. I've had hate sex too. Sex is a significant step in terms of intimacy, and it can come after number nine, which is love and intimacy, but it's a separate and distinct step. Sex is not true intimacy. Real intimacy involves emotional connection to a woman, okay? Because to be very honest, whatever you consider intimacy is not true intimacy unless the other person agrees and also feels that intimacy. And I can tell you right now that women do not consider sex that particular form of intimacy. Real intimacy to a woman is being able to share things and talk and yada, 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 and being able to listen. You like my yada, yada, yada on that one? That's how I treat my girlfriends too. Oh, yeah, yada, 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 yada. Sex is not true intimacy, though. It's that ability to communicate and connect on a much more open level, because really sex usually, I mean, these days happens pretty quick. Real intimacy is developed over time. Then comes what I consider the last step in terms of escalation. That's commitment, true commitment. That means you're committed to each other, you're staying with each other, and it's monogamous in some form or another. Commitment can be marriage, but it can also be just a long-term relationship. That's a significant development. A marriage is more like a legal definition of a formal long-term relationship, right? You're really saying, okay, I'm going to stick with this one, or else. Those are the 10 steps. From meeting and introduction, the electronic conversation, the phone conversation, then you got a first date interaction, the first kiss, which will close off, hopefully, your first date. Continuance, meaning that you're able to get a repeat from the same woman. That's a significant step, and it's relative to her as well. More sexual contact, meaning you can go further. You don't just kiss. Now you're getting touching, and you're getting the hints of, you know what? Eventually, we're going to sleep together. Sex, the actual act. 9, love and intimacy. This is where you're getting much more deeper emotional connection with a woman, emotional connection. And then finally, commitment, where it's become a formal and pretty much solid relationship. This is a relationship, right? All right, I'm going to leave those open because I may reflect back on them. Keep in mind, though, some can be clumped. In other words, electronic conversation and phone conversation can be clumped together. They're just a conversation that happens between meeting and finally getting together again. And we'll repeat later on, by the way. Meeting introduction, that might get clumped with electronic conversation because you might meet her one night and then a few hours later after you go your separate ways or you split, you text her. Happens pretty much the same night, close together. The first date, first kiss can be clumped together. Sometimes we separate the first date from the first kiss, but there's no need to. Continuing really is its own step because it's more of a cloudy middle interim step. More sexual contact, who knows? Maybe this girl moves quick. Maybe she's one of those low resistance girls and she's really into it and she wants to go forward. You know, more sexual contact can lead directly to sex. Older women, much more likely. Love and intimacy and commitment, those two can be clumped. So again, some will be repeated. Most of these will overlap. You will overlap on some of these steps of the 10. So what are the markers? What are you actually looking for that tells you you got to a certain point? You know, you got where you wanted to go. Now you know where you are on the map. Because again, you can look at a map that tells you how to go from point A to point B to point C to point D, whatever. But if you don't know where you are once you leave point A, you're going to be lost. You're not going to know where to go if things don't go the way you expect them to, or you get a little bit lost. You get a little bit off track. So again, physical escalation markers are like those little marks they put on trees to let you know where you are on the trail. Milestone markers. Let's talk about these. These are the major milestone markers when it comes to what you should look for in terms of tangible results with women. The first one is eye contact. It goes without saying. Making eye contact is probably one of the first steps in just meeting a woman. It can also be an incredible attraction builder if you know how to use it within conversations and in those little open spots within conversations. Physical contact, all right, that's a significant milestone. Your first physical contact, whatever physical contact you have, that means pretty much touch. Just intimate, or not intimate, very initiated by you, of course, but very temporary touch, very quick, it's fleeting. Touch on the arm, touch on the back, touch on the shoulder, very, very short periods of touch. Hugs and extended touch, again, there's a little escalation there. That's an important step to getting to, okay? You should be able to get at least to the hug and extended touch within, God, I'm trying to think what a good time period would be. You know what, it's honestly, I make sure that happens usually the first, very, as soon as I meet her, okay? Now, if you feel that you've got a lot of resistance in your life towards the physical intimacy, it's going to be tougher for you to get that right off the bat. It's going to feel clumsy and awkward, and you shouldn't even try, quite honestly. But on the first date, if you don't come away with a hug, something seriously bad has happened. Either something's really wrong with her, or you didn't do your job in moving things forward. But at the very least, on a first date, you need to be able to get hugs or extended touch. Maybe even a little bit of hand-holding or a little bit of, you know, physical touching, caressing. Another milestone marker is the kiss. This is a romantic kiss. This is not a casual greeting kiss. I remember when I was in Montreal, the women there had no problem with, you know, guys come up and just give him a kiss on each cheek. And it's funny because the guy I was with at the time, I was hanging out with him. This is way back when I did Cliff's List. Several years back, I did the seminar with them. And the women there are just so open to that because that's a cultural thing. Getting a kiss on each cheek, it's the French thing, right? And you can make that natural. But the real kiss that you're looking for is the romantic kind, the one that says, hey, this is cool. This is the kind of connection I want to move forward with. Okay, significant milestone marker there is that kiss. Sexually suggestive contact. You'll notice that some of these parallel the 10 steps that I gave you up here. Very close in some ways. Sexually suggestive contact, meaning that you're going beyond kissing. This might actually happen before kissing, by the way, if you do it as dance, like dancing on the dance floor. But it also leads to eventually an extended makeout session of some kind. It's a more sexualized contact. Kissing is sexual, but sometimes can be taken to a whole new level by the use of much more sexually suggestive contact. Heavy petting. This sounds like something out of a high school sex ed book, right? It's touching basically under the clothes. Going for a little boob, going for the little butt, or whatever it is, you're going for touch, physical touch, usually hands to other areas of the body. Be careful, don't be in a hurry to get to those spots, right? We use heavy petting, if you want to call it that, or touching in erogenous zones, as a method of turning a woman on, but not to overdo it. Mutual masturbation is another marker, another step. It doesn't necessarily have to happen, but usually it's just physically fondling those, again, more erotic zones, the direct sexual zones. Typically, guy's dick, girl's vagina. It's really doesn't get much more simple than that. It's usually also stimulating to orgasm. So whether it's a hand job from her or you rubbing one out for her, that's a step in between and just prior to actual sex, actual penetration, you being inside her, you get the picture, bumping uglies. Then there is a step, another milestone marker that you have beyond sex in terms of the physical part. It's mutually climactic sex. That's what I call it, MCS, mutually climactic sex. What is that? It simply means that you come at the same time. This is a very powerful step that a lot of guys don't always pay attention to, or they may place too much emphasis on it too. Mutually climactic sex is very powerful, very, very powerful, because it's a unison. It's like bringing things in sync that were previously not quite at the same time. Okay, it's a totally different level for her to, for you to put a rubber on and bang away and come, and then she's still left wanting. So you take care of her. You may go down with her, go down on her. You may help rub one out for her. She reaches down and uses her hands in some way. But being able to make those two coincide at the exact same time, where you both reach it, it totally takes things to another level, especially in a woman's mind because she's so turned on psychologically. Very important step that a lot of guys miss. Okay, those are the milestone markers, more physical milestone markers in terms of sexual progression. We're going from eye contact to physical contact to hug and extended touch, where we're a little bit more intimate, a kiss, a romantic kiss, not the casual greeting kind, sexually suggestive contact, meaning dancing or extended makeout or rubbing each other up a little bit, right? Heavy petting, this is where you physically touch under the clothes, the intent, a hand goes where it needs to go. Mutual masturbation, touching sexual organs. God, I hate that term. Sex, the actual act of sex, and then going beyond sex into mutually climactic sex, and even beyond that into much more highly developed sexual encounters with women, which I'm going to talk about later too when we get into a little bit of the whole tantra thing and all that. We'll talk about that. But your garden variety sex, and then there's the ooh la la wow sex that comes after that, and that's the stuff that you're shooting for. Okay, those are the milestone markers. Now I'm going to give you one that's really good. I know that for a long time now there's been this kiss test out there on the internet. I'm going to give you mine that's very, very effective, and it's very, very powerful, and it's also very, very easy to learn. And the purpose here is you want to build response potential. Okay, response potential is building in enough energy and drive for a woman to want to get to the next thing. So what you do is, for this little test to see if she wants to kiss you, because this is a big step for guys, right? No question about it. It's the one we look to see, is this chick really into me, or is she just kind of stringing me along? It's the first really indicatory of sexual progression. So what you do is you start by moving towards her as if you're going to kiss her. And at some point, what you're going to do is you're going to change your mind about the kiss and back off. So you're going to look at her and you're going to lean in a little bit. And then you're going to kind of like catch yourself and you're going to smile and you're going to lean back. Because you caught yourself. You didn't quite go through with it. Now, if as you move towards her, she backs away, she probably isn't ready to kiss you yet. Goes without saying. So if you move in, and there's not going to be a time here where you're moving in and she's just pulling away and you keep moving in towards her. Your moving in is actually a very short gesture. It's just a quick, right? Moving in towards her, getting yourself in closer proximity to her. Maybe it's if she's sitting beside you, it's just leaning in towards her a little bit and turning your head towards her. See how she behaves with that one. That's actually a really good one if you're sitting side by side. Now, if you move towards her and she backs away, she's probably not ready. That just means, hey, slow down, back up, get back to working on the attraction. Try again. You haven't been written off yet unless she's asking you, can you take me home? I'm really, you know, uncomfortable about this whole thing. Not going to happen. She's just waiting to build up more of the attraction. Now, if she stays in place or moves slightly forward, she's probably interested. Meaning as you move forward and you look like you're about ready to say something or move in, and she kind of moves in a little bit, that's a big indicator. The attempt and the back off will actually lock her in for a kiss later on. So when you do this, where you move in, and then you decide, no, I'm going to wait for a little bit. And you know that she was accepting and was open to that and receptive, it guarantees that it's going to happen right after. It's a guarantee. And that's what's cool about it is you don't have to even have to actually kiss her. It totally takes all the pressure out of the situation and the anticipation. Not all of it, but you know what I mean. And because if she didn't move away, then you both acknowledge that a kiss is inevitable. It's going to happen, right? If it was about to happen there, it's definitely going to happen a little bit. Now, don't focus on the other person too much. Okay, it's like a sign on the road. You're driving along on the highway. If you watch the signs, you're not really spending the time that you need to steer the car. So as you're chugging away and then you look at the sign and then you're suddenly off the road and you're hitting those little turtle spots on the side of the road, blah, 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 blah. You lost your attention and you'll, in a case of, you know, trying to seduce or attract a woman, you'll lose control of that vehicle really quick. So you gotta stay, keep your eyes on the road. Don't focus on these steps. When I say them, what I'm saying is don't focus on the steps themselves too much. Don't be sitting here after you've kissed her thinking, okay, that was cool, I got the kiss, but now, you know, Carlos was talking about how we need to get to more sexually suggestive contact. How do I get there next? See, if you're trying to orchestrate that or build that in consciously, it won't happen naturally and it won't happen at all, probably. So back off, relax, and let it happen. The next opportunity will present itself. Being patient is a big step. Don't rush. Matter of fact, I'm gonna bold that right now because I think it's that important, is that you want to make sure that you don't rush the progression of getting a woman interested in you. You don't want to go moving too quickly, okay? Because impatience is your enemy. You get her to want the next step just before you get there. Okay, let me explain that. That's a very powerful dynamic principle. What that means is I raise the anticipation and the excitement and the attraction with her so much so that she will want the next step before I am actually going there. I will get her so hot with that kiss that she will not be able to wait for more sexually suggestive contact, for a little bit of touching and stroking and caressing and all that. But I'm going to hold off on it, and that's going to make her want it all the more. Really important, because impatience will kill every seduction and every bit of your sexual power with women. And every step that you complete, every escalation that you complete without awkwardness makes the next one seem more inevitable. Let me repeat that. Every single step that you complete without awkwardness makes the next one seem all that much more inevitable, because you pulled it off and you were cool as a cucumber and you made it happen. Now, even if it happens awkwardly, it's still better than nothing, and you can still find ways to normalize it. It's not hard at all. Usually humor is the best way to do it, but it's just as easy to do. So don't worry that there's nothing in here that if you fail on this step of going from kiss to sexually suggestive contact, like you kiss her but you get her on the dance floor and she doesn't want to dance that way, that you've somehow lost the game. No. Your particular rules have changed just slightly, and you may have to reassess your battlefield. That's all there is to it. All right. Those are the physical escalation markers. Very simple. I'm keeping this very straightforward. This is all you need. Don't get too complicated with this. If somebody breaks one down or pits nicks with it, the whole nitpicking thing is not going to help you at all. The key is to just recognize the significant ones and where they lie for you. So, by the way, going back here, some guys, you know, can get from eye contact to physical touch to a hug to a kiss, no problem. But when it takes, when it requires them to go past the kiss and into more sexually intimate contact to get things moving forward, that's where they fail and they flunk. And they slow down and they end up screwing it up. All right. Physical escalation markers. That's done. Close up the roadmap while we're at it. The next section I want to talk with you about is emotional escalation. All right. Emotional escalation and what that is, what is entailed in that. Because this is an important part. This is another escalation that occurs in parallel with the physical escalation and the overall roadmap of moving from every point along the continuum, all right? Recognize that emotions play a significant part of this. We've talked about the physical part, the touching, the outside. Now we're going to get inside, indoors, and talk about the emotional escalation. All right, so to finish out this section, we're going to be covering emotional escalation, where to go and when, end game strategies, meaning when you're right at that, you know, the doorway of the bedroom and you're just ready to close the deal. We're also going to talk about first date sex and what it takes to get there. If you'd like to be able to go quicker to the bedroom and get those one night stands, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't obviously condone any kind of manipulation to force it to happen, but if you can make it happen comfortably, why not, right? There are women who don't have any problem with this, and you should be aware of that. And then, of course, what to do after the sex. So let's go to emotional escalation really quick, because this is very important. A lot of guys don't understand that there is an emotional component that kind of goes right along with the physical aspect that you have to know about to effectively seduce women and to get them to have sex with you, right? This is the progression that we go through to have a girl turn into a girlfriend, turn into more than that. The first step is stranger, right? The first step is she doesn't really know you at all and you're a stranger. You're a threat in a lot of ways. There's a lot more negatives than positives to you, which is why there's a lot of work required from men at the front part of this. So the blocker there is distrust. She's just going through distrust and she needs to overcome her distrust, and that's your job, is to give her more trust. From there, we go from stranger through distrust to acquaintance. She becomes an acquaintance of yours. This is like a friend, only not just not a friend yet. Not quite there. She knows you. She may like you. Okay, that's the connector emotion here. Like has been established, but little else, right? She's a little bit more open now, and she can have conversation with you. She'll talk to you. There's at least the opening ceremonies have been completed. Then comes friendship. Okay, after a significant amount of like has been built up, enough so that she can feel good with you, then friendship enters into the equation. Now, I know a lot of guys are going to be like, dude, you're not supposed to go for friends first. No, you don't, but there has to be a stage there where she would consider, at least consider you, a possible friend. If you can get to that point, that's one of those levels of progression emotionally that you have to get to. But you're going to go blow through that as fast as possible, because if we stay here too long, you will end up her friend. You are going to end up being that little cry on the shoulder dude that she just loves so much but won't ever have sex with. Okay, so friendship is there. Next step is trust. After you build up some more trust, then there can be some attraction built into the equation. Now, it doesn't have to be necessarily in this order, but these are the things that come in. Actually, I take that back. These do need to happen in this order, but the attraction element is the one that we start working on in this zone, all right? It doesn't mean that she won't feel like she can't be your friend or that she can't feel attracted to you before she has that. It should be in there, but it has to be in the right progression of feeling, okay? So after friendship comes trust through to attraction, because she feels like she can open up and start to feel sexual attraction with you. Now, trust does not mean that you have to prove yourself necessarily. It does not mean that you supplicate or, you know, beg, borrow, or steal to get her trust. It's not required. In fact, a lot of guys blow past trust right away to get attraction through the use of some of the more manipulative techniques that are out there, and I don't condone using them. Desire and want comes next, right? Because we want to get, for attraction to occur, there has to be desire and want from her. Want is different than need, because that's what comes next. After love, you've established need. Attraction establishes desire and wanting the person. Love, a long-term connection with a woman, establishes need, because when the love is taken away, It's unlike any withdrawal symptom of anything else, right? But if you go out and you meet a woman and you get all hot and bothered and into her and that, and for some reason it doesn't work out or she never calls you again, yeah, it's a pisser. But quite honestly, do you go through any kind of emotional withdrawal from it? No, you don't. You just move on with your life. At least most guys do, and you should too. It won't impact you more than a day or two at the most, but a love connection has need attached to it and it becomes more significant. Then comes devotion and commitment to make that love turn into something that feels stable, and the need can then be, you know, nobody wants to need somebody else, right? So what do we do to avoid that need? Well, we have to find something that gives us security in knowing that that need won't be used against us, that won't be manipulated, that won't be taken away or pushed around or played with, and that is the devotion and commitment, the final stage. All right, so the progression for emotions for pretty much anybody, and this, you know, is a microcosm of this for most of our friends, is you turn from a stranger to an acquaintance to someone that would be considered a friend or a possible friend to attraction if you want to go to the next level, and eventual love, and then devotion and commitment. Now, of course, there will be guys that take issue with the whole attraction and friendship and what order they come in. When you're working on a woman that you're attracted to, attraction is always in all of this, right? But it only rears its ugly head every so often, and it's really part of the bigger process. So there's the emotional progression or the emotional escalation. Where to go and when? The frequency means different things to different women. The frequency of how things happen or how fast things happen will have different significance to different women. But with this in mind, that each day is sequential, and this equation I'm about to give you is the timeline for how things happen and what to do with women in what order. Each day is sequential, and there are variable times in between. It's variable, and keeping it variable, by the way, between each one of these steps, and you're going to see why, is better because it's unpredictable that way. If you try too hard to make things a certain regular every day, like you text her every day or you text her every week, you know, anything that's regular becomes boring because it's predictable. Predictable equals boring, especially in attraction. So you got to let go of the predictability element and open yourself to a little bit of unpredictability. Make it variable. When it's unpredictable, it's more interesting. And always remember, strike while the iron is hot. In other words, if you have an opportunity, you take and seize that opportunity. You don't wait and hold it off because, oh, it's too soon. No, 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 no. You move forward as fast as you need to move forward. If things move quick just because they're moving quick, don't go putting the brakes on. I've actually seen that totally backfire on people. Like, guys get all weirded out because a woman suddenly does want to have sex on the first date, and they're kind of like, well, maybe we should wait, you know, because they're all freaked out about the fact that it happened so quickly. No, dude, you go with it. That's just your personal blockade to get past. You're a little mental obstacle that's tripping you up. All right? Here's the timeline. Day one is the connection. Now, when I talk about days, day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, those are not sequential days. That's not day one of the week, Monday, day two of the week, Tuesday, day three of the week, Wednesday, and so on. This is just a unit called day number one, and that number one, this is a significant event that happens there. Connection. Contact information and some chemistry is established at this point. That's what you're looking to do on the connection. There has to be contact information that you get and some chemistry, attraction, you know, thrown into the equation somehow. The goal for you is to get her attracted and to get her somewhat invested and get her contact information. Let me say that again. It's to get a little bit of attraction started. That's the chemistry part, a little bit of push-pull, whatever it is, a little bit of energy, right? We're trying to start the sexual tension here. Not big, at least a little bit though. You want to get her somewhat invested in you, because if she isn't invested, if she doesn't put out any kind of energy into this or you know, put something on the line, it's like having poker chips, putting them on the table. If she isn't investing somewhat in your interaction, she'll have no problem flaking out on you. And it's exactly what happens to most guys, is they let it be a very, very light, superficial interaction where there's no investment from her. The guy's investing all of his hope and dreams in this hot chick actually answering the phone when he calls. And when nothing happens, guess who gets trashed? Yeah, he does, not her, because she's getting every guy left and right approaching her. For him to balance the equation, he's got to get her invested in him, all right? Very important. We'll talk more about that. And then he gets her contact information. That's what happens on day one. Your goal is to get her attracted, get her somewhat invested, and get her contact information. In between day one and day two, things can happen. You can have texts and emails. Those are typically the things that happen between that and when you actually finally do talk to her. But the time limit here is anything from minutes to hours after the first call or the first time you actually meet this chick. All right, that's it. Minutes to hours after the first call is fine. To get a text or an email is cool. But don't, again, you know when things seem a little needy. If you feel needy, then what you're doing is probably needy, so you just need to hold off a little bit. That's all there is to it. Develop a little self-discipline over it. So that's the timing of it. I'm going to close up this so that we can keep the interim open so you can understand the time between these two. Now, day two can happen several days later, whatever it may be, but it's to reestablish attraction and trust. And this can be a phone call. This is a much more involved interaction. It can be a phone call or it can be an email. And the time limit here is 1 to 2 days after you've connected with that chick. Okay? So let's say you skipped this one. You didn't necessarily need to text or email her right off the bat, but you've got her phone number, you've got her email, you've got her Facebook, whatever. What the eternal question, when do you call her back? When do you reconnect? 1 to 2 days is all that it should take. That's the limit. You go beyond that, you're starting to show disrespect and a certain amount of, it just doesn't feel good to most women. They weird out on it. Unless you got her so hot and bothered for you that she's dying for you to call, in which case, then it doesn't hurt to call her sooner than later, does it? Don't push the envelope on that. 1 to 2 days is all you need. The goals here on this one, on day two, are just to get hold of her and talk to her again. That's it, really. Revive her interest with fun. Remind her of what a cool dude you were. Remind her of why she gave you her phone number anyways. And plant the seed for the date, okay? The seed for the date is the reason why you two should get together again. And it could be anything. It could be something you talked about or do talk about on the phone. There needs to be a reason why. The date doesn't have to be set on this particular interaction, by the way. This day two interaction, the date doesn't have to be set right at this moment. But you must get her to the point of wanting that date. Even if you don't offer it, it should be desired by her. And you'll know this. You'll know when she wants it by the way she talks. Okay? You'll know it undeniably. And go ahead. Get the date if you can and it makes sense wherever you happen to be in the interaction. Okay? Sometimes what I'll do is I'll call a woman, talk to her a little bit, get her laughing again, get her all excited, and you can just tell she's dying. I'll be like, oh, I hate to do this to you, but I gotta go. I was just about to get on the bus. I'll call you in a little bit, okay? All right, bye. And just cut it off right there. And she's kind of like, oh. You know, I know I left her a little bit deflated. I know I dropped it a little hard. But then I can just call her back like 20 minutes later and say, oh, man, I'm glad you're there. I just like, you know, got right off the bus and figured, oh, what the hell, I'll give you a call. You can reconnect it again and she'll be excited to hear from you again. But at the same time, just remember that this goal that you're trying to shoot for is simply to get that reconnection going, to remind her and to exercise that muscle to get her interested again. That's day two, establishing attraction and trust. Day three, you want to meet again in person. There can be also another interim action. You could send another text or an email, but again, don't be needy. You don't want to push the envelope too hard here, but know that it is possible. Day three's goal is simply you want to meet again in person. So we've connected the first time, introduction, what approach, whatever. Then there's a reconnection on electronically, via phone, via email, whatever, joking around. The next is the actual date, the meeting again, right? It's a short date. It can be a low investment risk for both of you. Meet over tea, meet for a drink or a beer, whatever it is. But link it to something that you talked about previously. This is seeding. This is where if you talked on the first time you guys got together, when you approached her, you happened to meet her in... Oh God, I'm trying to think of something that makes sense. You met her at a magazine store, okay? For whatever reason, you met her at a magazine store, and your approach was whatever she was reading at that time from a magazine. Well, maybe you came up with some sort of comment in that conversation about that magazine. Maybe she's into windsurfing or surfing, right? And you could tell her at this point we're going back again. Day three, trying to get that meeting again in person. Now you've got a reason why. The reason why is what I said before here. The reason why is you're planting that seed for the date. When you talk to her on the phone, you can get these things. You find the reason why you two need to get together again. Now you can bring that up again to get that date when you actually do meet again. I hope that makes sense. We're trying to establish totally logical, rational. It just falls into place because... Okay, you're not having to force anything here. You're not having to struggle to come up with a reason why you two should get together. It just seems like it should happen. And that's the way you want it, just like dominoes that should fall over. Time limit here is no more than a week without a genuine reason. Again, you don't want to wait longer than a week from when you first met her to when you first get back together with her for more than a week. You don't want more than a week between there without a really good reason, like one of you is traveling or circumstances just really sucked. The duration of this time, there's a new time limit here, okay? The time limit between, but there's also the time limit of the event. When you meet her again in person, keep it short. Keep the duration commitment down to 1 to 1.5 hours. It's better to keep it shorter and leave her wanting more than too long and boring her and losing the attraction. Again, a big mistake the guys make is committing themselves to 7 hours with a woman and not really being sure they even want to hang out with a person, or her even wanting to hang out with you. What's the goal on day three? The goal is to build the attraction further. Continue that build-up. It's like an arms race. You're continuing the build-up of attraction arms. Deepen the rapport. You're also working on getting connection underneath that attraction. So while you're teasing her and having fun with her and getting that push-pull, you should also be seeking to get much more established rapport and connection. Get physical touch started with her. Get comfortable opening up the dates that you have with women when you get together with them again with a peck on the cheek. Walk up and just say, "Oh, great, it's so good to see you." You know, give her a kiss on the side, on the cheek. That's it. You know, a quick hug and a kiss on the cheek. It should seem natural and should feel natural. If it doesn't, get it there. Because if you're natural and congruent with it, she will be too. It's a simple state of fact. If you're manipulative and greedy with it, she'll also sense it. Some guys go in and try and get that little kiss on the cheek just to try and desperately figure out if the woman's still digging them or try and get some security out of the situation. And that becomes manipulative and greedy. Hang off on it. So get that physical touch started, though, as quickly as possible on this interaction. Don't go waiting around. We're trying for sexual power here. We're not trying to water things down. The kiss at the end of the date, if there is one, and more often than not, you should have it. It should happen for you if you get the attraction going. It will happen. Leave her wanting more. It should be a very short and abbreviated kiss. And again, leaving her excited for the next date, the next possible time you two can get together. Really, really important. Okay? Leave her wanting more and then leave her excited for the next date. Okay. Now, after that first mini date or short brief date that you got together with her, what happens in between? Well, again, text, phone call, some kind of little fun thing. Play with her. Use some of the teasing texts that I give you in some of my other programs. Use those to keep the spark going, callback humor, and things like that. The time limit here is I would wait 2 days after that first date to build some anticipation without being manipulative. If you do something right after that first date, it's a little too soon. It can come across as a little needy. Let her do it. If she does it, great. But you don't be the one to do it, right? Set that next date quickly. Set it as quickly as you possibly can. So 2 days after, you might text her and say, "Had a great time. It was a blast being hanging out with you." And you wait. She texts something back, and that makes it obvious that she's still interested and she's still up for it. You've got some continuity. Then you text her back and saying, "You know what? I'll fire a date at you. We'll try and get together again real soon," right? And that gives you an opportunity again to call her back later. Set that second date quick. And she's going to want to not seem desperate, so beware of that. She's going to not want to seem desperate, so she may put you off at first, but be persistent. Okay, so that's the interim. That's between this one and now the extended date. The first date was kind of like a warm-up date, okay? It's the warm-up for the real event. The real event is the extended full-on date. Now, this is the first real romantic date, and I tell guys that, you know what, dinner's fine, but something that you can do that's an activity is much better. Again, you want to be interactive with women. I'm not going to go into the details here. I actually have my program Killer First Dates that you can get from me for free. I can give you a lot more information on what to do on these dates. But really, the dinner is just providing the meal sort of thing, doing that provider role. It can work in. Don't worry too much about that. I think a lot of guys worry too much now about whether or not they take a woman to dinner. It should just come up naturally. Make it a day date. Something that happens in the afternoon is kind of cool too, like on a Saturday. Like it just works out that way. You can just say, "Hey, you know what? I'm supposed to be going out with a friend of mine on Saturday night. He and I were just, you know, had this thing going for months now. But I thought it'd be really cool if, since I'm going to be around your area anyways, we just get together and hang out during the afternoon. What do you think?" She'll go for it, right? Gives you a little bit more time in there. You can still have some daytime time. And then again, use it effectively. It's a day date. The time limit here is that it should happen within a couple of days of your original short date. Remember back here where you finally first met, first time in person? You want it to happen again within a few days of the short date that you just had. The duration of this date is 2 hours to 3 hours. I'd say 2 to 3, but with a possibility of more, but not an obligation to more. Key and critical difference there. A lot of guys miss that one too. Okay? It's 2 hours with a possibility of more, but not necessarily an obligation for more. So keep the downside low for her. You want to keep the downside, what we call the downside risk, low as possible for her. She should not feel like, oh my God, I'm going to be spending 8 hours with this guy. What in the world did I do? Okay, I'll do it. But you know what will happen? The first opportunity she gets, she'll back out or flake out because it's just too much of a freaky obligation. Make it inevitable. Make it easy for her to push the dominoes over. It should be so totally low obligation and low key. And then once you're in the date and having fun, extending it becomes natural and just it will just happen on its own. And that'll seem more like destiny to her. That destiny thing is big with women, by the way. What are the goals on this date? The extended date, rather, is more attraction, more rapport. You're establishing the maybe in her mind. This is the possibility that you could be the one, right? Because every woman wants to entertain that notion. This guy could be the one. He's pretty cool. He's pretty funny. He's got this trait. He's got that trait. He's really pretty interesting. Remember, at this point, it doesn't matter if you are or even if you want to be. But she should be entertaining the notion that you could be, because if she's chosen anything else, you're out of the game. So, you know, what's the point? You want her to be entertaining that possibility, not like you're trying to romance her right off her feet and into a bridal gown. You're just trying to make it clear that you're a possibility. More physical contact is definitely the goal for this particular date. The longer date, you definitely want to have a little bit longer kissing and what I call pre-sexual touch, which means maybe your hand strays a little bit closer to her butt. Maybe you grab her arms a little bit and pull her in tight when you kiss her. You know, these things give it much more sexual innuendo and passion. So I would say probably if you're going to substitute a word in there, passion would be a good one. Those are your goals for the extended date. Okay, interim between this one, again, text or phone call after this date, the big date, and the time limit is, again, 2 days to build anticipation without seeming manipulative. You don't have to. If you didn't have sex on that date, there's no reason why you have to contact her the next day. In fact, not contacting her that day is much better. That builds a lot more response potential. But waiting till the second day is a good idea. I wouldn't go too much further than that again, because then it seems like you're just not caring and being disrespectful again. Now we're back to day five. This is the fifth in the escalation path, and this one is the experiential date. This is the third date. You know that big date they talk about? But a lot of guys expect it to be the big date of sex. Don't expect it to be the payday for you. Don't expect, because it's the third date and everybody talks about it being the one that you have sex on, that you're going to get it. In fact, I often make a joke about that, saying, you know what, this is our third date and I just want to set it up right now. I don't know if you're going to be getting any on this one, okay? So let's not get that all that weirdness in there. Let's just have fun. Works great. Make it more clever and more thought out. Put some mental effort into this one, because you want to impress her that you're really thinking about her, thinking for her, trying to give her a good experience. She wants to feel that. Here, a dinner or a meal would be excellent. It'd be really good to have at this point. By this time, fifth date, you're getting pretty connected with this chick. Cook for her at her place. Okay, this is going to lead naturally into it being a payday for you if you really want to know the truth. But that's an awesome way to handle the day five, which is the experiential date. And then make sure the time is open-ended. Make sure there's no time limits. There's nothing after that you have to worry about, right? And, you know, salesmen have great ways of doing this, but you just have to be clear that, you know what? Hey, you want to go out on Saturday? Cool. You don't have anything else going on that day or night, do you? Okay. That's all you need to do. You want to make sure there's nothing else going on that's going to create a situation. From time to time, she may throw one in just to test the waters and to give you the idea, you know, to kind of establish limits, establish boundaries. She'll say something like, you know what, I was supposed to meet a friend of mine a little bit later on. I hope you don't mind. You know, I mean, we're going to have a few hours and everything, but I might have to meet up with her. That's her way of saying she wants to put that out there and see how you react to it. See if you're going to get all, dang it, I'm not going to get any sex tonight. It's the third date. That's really what it's about. Gives her an out, just in case. And then there is the sex date. Whatever date it winds up being, all right? You have to start to move it forward, but every date moves it forward a little bit. Every single one, no matter what happens, it's got to move forward. You'll sense it. Everything will start to move forward. And if there's no other factors, you or her, you want to move things forward assertively by the fourth date. When I say move it forward, I mean get it into the bedroom, okay? Get it going towards sex. Because there should be a steady but gradually increasing slope of sexual energy every one of these days that we've gone through here. Day one, from the connection, there was initial attraction established. Day two, reestablishing that, and then meeting again in person, having the extended date, the experiential date, and then eventually, whatever date it happens on, whether it's the first, second, third, whatever date that is, you have to be the one constantly moving it forward, all right? That push is what really makes it happen. Your willingness to go out and go out on a limb to make it happen. Now, how do you make that happen? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about more in the rest of the strategies in this section from the endgame strategies. The first date sex, where I'll show you how to make that move forward as fast as possible and kind of complete the loop on the actual sexual roadmap. All right, we're at endgame strategies as we finish up the topic of sexual roadmap and the overall big picture view of how to go from A to Z. Endgame strategies is about what happens right when you're at that zone before the bedroom, right? Endgame is the zone when you're within just a few minutes of penetration or sexual contact and sexual intimacy. Just a few minutes. It means like you're right there at the door, you know it's imminent, you know it's about to happen. Now the big factor here is how you're going to handle things if you're denied. That's really what the end game is all about, right? Because if it just goes on its own from here, you're going to get laid. It's not terribly difficult for you to make it through this portion. You don't need strategies. You just need to keep going. You just need to keep moving forward. And you will. And if you keep doing that, you're going to get to success. The key and critical component to understanding end game, which is the last 10 yards, if you want to think about it that way, think about it in football terms. The last 10 yards on the field is right before the goal. The red zone, that zone where things could go wrong, and that's where you have to prepare the most. The question, the big factor for this area is simply being prepared for what happens if you're shut down. What happens if you're denied? What if she won't let you into the end zone? For whatever reason, she puts up a front or a defense and decides she wants to resist you. Okay. Now when I say resist, I don't mean that you're physically forcing her, and I don't mean that she's physically resisting you. I mean that she's actually going to slow things down or put on the brakes to having sex. All right, well, think about it this way. First of all, she's only going to deny you if only just to establish who is in control. This is typically why women deny guys in the red zone, at the end zone area, right? The last 10 yards, you're about to have sex. Why would she stop you here? Well, number one, she's having a thought in her mind of, oh my God, we're about to do something really, really important, really, really big, okay? And of course, depending on whether she's a resistor or a non-resistor, you know what that means to her intellectually. For some women, it doesn't mean quite as much. For some women, it means quite a lot. She's going to deny you just to establish control, to show that she's the one in control. So even a low resistor woman, a low resistance type woman, is still going to resist you or stop you here because she wants you to know, hey, buddy, before you get this, you know I'm in control, right? That's what she wants to do. But she doesn't want to do it confrontationally like that, so how does she do it? She does it with a, stop, we shouldn't. And a lot of guys misunderstand this for being that thing they call the slut complex, where she's afraid to be the slut, she's afraid of being perceived as being a slut. And yes, that is a big part of it. But what they're failing to see is this one reason below it. And that reason below it is that as long as she knows that she still has control, right? As long as she knows that she still is the one saying yes or no, and that she gave the veto and or the approval vote, that's all she needs. So there's an underlying reason beneath the whole slut complex thing that most of these pickup artist guys and a lot of the other gurus out there miss. It's not necessarily about that, because that slut complex that she has is not as important to her with a man. Her perception there, as long as you've done the right work up front, she will not necessarily have that view. She won't be worried about whether or not you think of her as a slut. It's going to be all in how you handled it up to that point. If you communicated her uniqueness, you communicated some genuine, like, overwhelming, empowering attraction for her, and you communicated that desire effectively, she's going to be okay and fine with that, right? But if she senses that you're only in it for the sex, or that you're only in it because you think you can get the sex, well, then by all means, she's going to stop you because of her slut complex. She doesn't want to be a slut. But the reason that most guys actually run into tends to be this one. She's going to deny you just to establish who's in control, and then to find out what your character is by how you respond to her. How do you respond to being shut down? Are you going to do the stomp your feet on the ground thing? Are you going to do the, oh, come on, let's have sex. You can't stop now. Remember, this goes back to the old, women are disconnected from their state of physical arousal. They can be totally intellectually separated from everything that's going on below. So she could be this close to orgasm and still be able to go, no, stop. Stop right there. We need to stop. Okay? It can totally shut down on her. Whereas a guy, he's going to finish no matter what. I'm telling you, you've been warned, because this is a really important thing to remember. These two reasons here, if you address them correctly, you will get in, okay? You will get the touchdown, and she'll be happy for you. She'll be one of the cheerleaders on the sideline going, oh. It's going to be that easy for you. But you got to remember, you got to let her think and believe, and let it be real, of course, that she is the one who's in control when it comes to the sex. You can't deny her that. And if you've been effective up to this point, some guys can get to the end zone really, really quick and totally blow themselves out because of the speed in which they did it. The woman has no way to believe that she had any control over this. She's being like, whoa, wait a minute, I'm being taken on a ride here. And those girls are going to shut you down hard and fast, and you're going to have a real hard time recovering. Okay, so when you get good at some of the pickup artist skills, they can really hold you back in the real world of attracting women that you may want to date more than once. Who knows, maybe even have a girlfriend, right? And the character response is really, really important. She will just pull on the brakes just to sit there and go, let's see what he does with this. That tells her more about you than she needs to, than anything else she needs to do, is to see how well you deal with sexual rejection. Dealing with sexual rejection is a primary character differentiator in guys. It tells her whether or not you're getting any, tells her whether or not you've got a sense of inner security and calm about you. It's also telling her how you think about her. Because if she shuts you down and you get really, really pissy and bitchy about it, it's as if you're treating her as if, like, there's only one shot at doing this. What does that tell her? One shot? She's just one shot? That means you're not really in this for the long haul? You're just going to, what, dispose of her? This is a one-night stand to you? See where that logic goes? Problem with the logic is, it's usually true. Okay, so I'm going to leave that open because that's really critical, and we may come back to that. The big factor is how you handle things. Now, if she delays you near the goal, you simply happily agree. Why? Why do you just agree and go along with it? Okay, because, first of all, she's about to let you in. You have to keep in the back of your mind that she is within this close of letting you in and you're getting the sex. Keep that in mind. It's like one of those things you just store away and you're like, huh, okay, cool. I'm almost there. You can be totally laid back and relaxed if you know that in the back of your head. And you have no problem saying, oh, sure, yeah, let's slow down, no problem. You want something to drink? I'm going to get something from the kitchen. You can disconnect so easily because you know you're almost there, dude. It's like the bouncer at the door of a nightclub, okay? He says, dude, hold on. And he's looking inside the door, checking the club out, see if he can let more people in. And then he decides, okay, go on. That's what that moment really is. There's a bouncer there, and he's saying, whoa, hang on a second. Okay, come on in. That's all she's trying to do. She's trying to be the bouncer at the door to control who goes in and who goes out. Put it in crude terms. Bouncers have to do that final verification on you before they let you in. It's kind of like a check to see are you cool or not. That's what she's doing. She's using her little internal bouncer to check and see if you're cool. Don't get greedy or impatient. You're this close to the goal, dude. Relax and keep yourself cool and calm and collected. The last 10 yards is so easy for guys, and yet this is where most guys screw it up. By losing control there, being pissy and petulant and being a little bitch about it, and they wonder why they don't get any. Well, this is why. Now what? What do you do? Well, first remember where this happened. This is the strategy I want you to follow. This is what you're going to do if you run into the situation. Remember where she shut you down. When I say where in the whole sexual roadmap did she shut you down at? Where did she put the brakes on? Did she put it on when your hand was in her pants, or did she put it on when Maybe she was going to touch you, or did she put the brakes on when you're actually in bed together, almost naked? You got to know where this is happening, right? Because it gives you a sense of where she's starting to pick up the vibe that some things have changed here and some things are going to go sexual, because she won't do this. She won't put the brakes on unless she knows that sex is imminent. Think about that for a second. Why would she do this? She does it because she knows that sex is right around the corner. Wait for a few minutes. Just kind of back off a little bit, be nice and kind of sexually cool and playful and fun. First of all, you're going to pick up right where you left off in a minute, but let me tell you about what you do before that. You simply just stop, lean back a little bit, appreciate her, let her know she's desirable. Just kind of lay back with her, kind of run your hands around her arms, the non-sexual parts of her body, and say, "Oof, I'm glad you put the brakes in there, because you're just like too much, girl. Damn." You're giving her appreciation and you're communicating that sexual desire. Remember, that's what women want to feel. They want to feel your desire more than anything else.
It's 9
So,
o'clock.
slow sensual touch. Slow touch, where you're just like running your hand along her body and you're keeping the stimulation going. You don't want to break off necessarily. You don't want to necessarily jump up and go to the kitchen and get something to drink, but you want to just keep the sexual contact or the physical contact going at a much reduced level. Keep kissing her without going in aggressively and trying to get back to that sexual physical space you're in. Again, don't try to race back to where you left off too quickly. If you let it build up again slowly, she'll let you get there and probably further most of the time, 9 times out of 10. Simply build it back up slowly. Build the sexual energy back up slowly. And most times, she just needs to know that you won't run her over. That's really what she needs to know, is that with your sexual energy being so strong and, of course, powerful, the masculine energy can be very intimidating to a woman. She needs to know that you're not going to run her over with it, that you're going to totally try and, like, again, force sex on her to be a sexual predator or a sexual threat to her. Now, what if she does it again? Oh, wait a minute, step back here. When I talk about that she knows you're not going to run her over, you also have to communicate that you're going to respect that boundary that she set. Okay? Respect that she set a boundary there and show that respect. 9 times out of 10, that's what she needs to see. That's it. And then things go straight from there to where they need to go. So, what if she does it again? What if she does put the brakes on once more? Okay? Figure out if you got further this time. Did you run up against the exact same barrier at the exact same point in the game? If it's at the exact same place, chances are there's a pattern there that's going along and that she's trying to stop it. And there's probably a hard-coded physical barrier that she doesn't want to go past. Maybe she made an agreement with herself. I remember talking to girls about this all the time. After I'd sleep with them, I'd always do a little bit of post-mortem where I'd ask them about, okay, so when did you know we were going to have sex? And then I'd say, so, what were your thoughts coming here tonight or whatever? I just want to find out what was going on behind the scenes that led up to this moment, because it gave me so much insight into women and their thinking. And this one girl said, I remember she even volunteered this. She's laying there after we had finished, and she's like, "Oh, God, and I promised we weren't going to do it tonight." I'm thinking to myself, "What? Are you kidding me? You promised?" I'm thinking this in my head. What in the world does that have to do with anything? It just blew my mind that, this chick was actually making promises that had nothing to do really with her and me to her girlfriend. She just did it on a whim. And I don't know what the hell the conversation was about. Who knows what her girlfriend was trying to do? This is when I was a lot younger. But you can see what happens, right? Women will make some really wild little leaps of logic and faith and decision making. If she does it again, figure out if you got further. If you did not get further, chances are there's a hard-coded limit there, and you probably need to root out more what's going on there. Okay, and you might want to respect that maybe it's just not going to happen tonight. No big deal. If yes, if you did get further than you did last time, then again, just stop, back off, start appreciating her, go back to sensual touch, kissing. Don't race back. Build it back up slowly, and do it again. And again, and you'll keep getting further and further and further. This is a woman who probably needs to see a lot of persistence from you. Which type of woman is this? Do you remember your typology? The high resistor girl. She's going to put up a lot of resistance, but again, it's part of her feeling of being in sexual control. Again, if you keep running up against the same barrier at the same point, if you didn't get any further, then it probably means she's just not ready. You can try again, but you have to be careful. Okay, if you keep running into the same barrier, it's going to look like dumb persistence, and it's going to look like I need to get sex, and that's going to turn her off. Also, take note of how you got shot down. How did she do it? Did she do it very nicely and but very firmly, and almost like she was like pushing you back into your own corner, or did she just kind of put her hand on yours and just slow you down a little bit? There's different ways women approach it depending on what their motivation is. So watch that. How she shuts you down is just as important. All right, so we just covered the end game. The most important part for a lot of guys is those end game strategies. Now, there's something. Now, there's something called the freeze out. You may have heard this. It's a manipulative tactic. It's where you basically it plays on insecurities. What happens is, let me close this for a second. This is where a guy will run up against a woman saying no to sex right when they're getting really close. And what does he do? He just totally shuts her out and shuts down. He disconnects. He practically gets up, goes and gets the remote or whatever, and turns on the TV and starts watching TV, or goes and does something else. And it's like he basically abandons the woman. This is a bad idea. This is almost always a bad idea. And the guys that use this, I find it very manipulative and very false, and it's actually going to turn off a lot of women this way. The only women this typically works on are the more insecure ones. It's a manipulative tactic. It plays on the insecurities of the woman thinking that she's rejected. You're trying to make her feel rejected so that you can get where you want to get. And it's very manipulative. But you can do something like this with kind of a self-confident calm as long as it's genuine. All right, let me explain how this works. This is kind of like a moderate version of the freeze out. It's the only one that I actually condone using. This is where you say something like, oh, you know what? You're right. We should probably cool it off a little bit, right? We're not in any rush. Turn on the TV and then turn on some comedy, right? Turn on some comedy. Don't immediately get up from the couch and you know, run off to another room or do something else. Stay close to her. Just kind of shift positions and say, hey, you want to watch some? Let's watch some on TV. I think there's some really cool stuff on Comedy Central right now. And you turn on the TV and you go there. Or you say, you know what? You're right. This is getting a little bit hot and heavy. You want to go for a little bit of a walk? And you take her out on a walk. Maybe it's around your neighborhood or something like that. And you come back and you can try again. The key here is that you can only use this tactic of disconnection, strategic disconnection, or what we call a freeze out, but only much more moderate. You can only do this if you can happily let her go. Could you happily let this woman go? Can you disconnect and not feel like, you know what, I feel like I just lost her. I totally screwed up. Or can you be like, cool, no biggie. We can come back and do this again sometime. If you can do that, you can do this tactic effectively. But you don't do it cold. You don't break off verbal contact. You don't shut down. You don't play the real true freeze out game where you try and literally freeze her. It's just not effective. It's not. It's manipulative. And again, it's playing on insecurities rather than playing on your own strengths. So really important, that freeze-out tactic can be used in a way that is respectful to her, respectful to yourself, and does not rely on manipulation. It's another way of handling that end-game dilemma of being blocked, and it's important. All right, there's your end-game strategies. To serve and protect, what are we talking about here? Well, there are risks, right? We always have the risk in sex of pregnancy. We have the risk of STDs. Those are the two biggest risks the guy has to watch out for. Okay. And he may not concern himself so much with pregnancy, but you will if you're hit with a paternity suit of some kind or you're being forced to pay child support. I recently related the horror story of a guy who was in New York and had a one-night stand and thought he was going to create a girlfriend out of this, but what he ended up creating was a monster because she got pregnant. And what did she do? She actually is denying him access to his kid, is suing for child support and all this other stuff. And you can just tell this woman is incredibly evil. I mean, it's just an incredibly evil story. Even if I was misinterpreting it, she's still evil. You know, it's one of those stories where you just can't, you cannot deny the other person is such a wicked person. And I felt bad for this guy, you know, because basically he'd been had by a reverse sexual predator is really it, you know. And I really feel sorry for these guys that get in this situation. So the condom situation, the whole protecting yourself against any kind of pregnancy or disease is essential. It's just absolutely essential. Just always have condoms. Even if she's on the pill, you just gotta protect yourself. You gotta. Okay. Yes, with anal, and especially with anal, you just got to. Okay. There's never anything. Even when she says, "Hey, it's okay. You can go with it." Blah blah blah. No, you can't. There is no such thing as unprotected sex for you until you get to a certain point in the relationship. Okay. So again, don't trust the woman on this one. I'm not saying you can't trust women in general, because most of the time they're looking out to protect themselves as well. They're going to actually be much more wired to ensure that you've got some kind of protection for STDs or for pregnancy. But again, that's not always a guarantee, so protect yourself. You cannot protect against STDs with the pill, okay? So you don't know, she might have herpes, she might have something she's not telling you about. To be fair, most women are very upfront and very honest about these things. I'm fairly certain that statistics have shown that more men tend to lie about these things than women, but it does happen on both sides of the fence, so recognize it. And recognize also that even with anal, especially with anal intercourse, you need to have protection. You need to have protection, all right? Never trust a woman when she says, "Oh, it's okay, you can come inside me," or whatever. No unprotected sex. These are the rules for, as far as I'm concerned, unprotected sex. And as cool as I know it feels to be go bareback, you got to respect these rules. No unprotected sex until you can establish monogamy. That means you're only dating each other and seeing each other and having sex with each other, because you don't know what other people are doing, right? You've both been tested for STDs. Go to a Planned Parenthood center. Get yourself tested for AIDS, HIV, and any other sexual diseases you want. That's the best thing to do. That's the best path. Once you've crossed that border, you're both going to feel totally safe and secure with each other. It's going to be a big trust thing for her more than anything, and you're going to have much more fun. Let's just face it. It's much more cooler to be able to do it without all that extra stuff involved that, again, protects you, but at the same time, you want to make sure you can get to a nice connection with a woman. All right, now we're at a very big point in the program. This is the first date sex section. This is a specific strategy for having one-night stands. Now, some guys have said, "Dude, you, Carlos Zuma, teaching this? Isn't this going against what you teach with Alpha Lifestyle and blah, 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 blah?" No, it does not. Because the reality is there's a lot of women out there who want this just as much as men, and there are so many women that do have first date sex. Okay, it's also very, very popular with internet dating. That's why I was doing it for a long time, is because I knew that I could get a much higher success and close ratio with the women that I was meeting online. And there were some really hot women I was meeting there, so please don't think this is some sort of skank territory. But this is not an ethics issue when it comes down to it. If you are okay with this sort of thing in your own life, you don't have any religious or moral barriers to it, of course, always identify that first. This goes back to your presuppositions, your premise. If you have a belief that contradicts what it is you're trying to do, you're going to be in a state of turmoil, and it's going to sabotage any success that you have. First date sex, for me and for most guys, is not that big of an issue. In fact, we try and get there. I want to point something out before we go into this section, though, and that is, recognize that when you do have sex on the first night with a woman, you remove a lot of the challenge that allows you to want to connect with her longer term. Men have this built-in mechanism. I know I did, and I recognized it at an early age. We have this mechanism that basically, if you get too far too fast with a woman, if she lets you, you don't feel a sense of challenge. And when you lose that sense of challenge, you lose the will to chase. It's like the antelope on the plains that just didn't run. You know, a lion might bash it around. He might even eventually kill it. He'd be like, "Wow, this was really boring. Anyway, you guys eat this one. I'm going to go chase the one over there." That's the one he savors. That's the one he desires, right? And this chasing mechanism and the need to chase is built into guys. We need it. Just as much as women have that need to be chased and to put up a little bit of the fight, the no, right? So first date sex, what it's really about is if you're on a path where, okay, maybe this person, you both realize, you know what, this is about all we got right now is this chemistry thing. Long term, there's nothing else here that's going to work, but this might work tonight. That's one of the legitimate reasons you might want to pursue this. There's a ton more, but let's deal in reality when it comes to one night stands. If you think you can just hypnotize a woman into bed, it ain't going to happen. I've mentioned this already, all right? Or that I'm going to show you a backdoor trick that's going to sneak in behind her defense mechanisms. That's not going to happen. That's not what we're talking about here. This process that we're talking about is simply a highly amped up and very compressed multiple night seduction that you put in one very quick frame. It's a lot like basically just keeping your foot on the gas. It's like pressing down on the gas and not letting up on it. If you're familiar with the story of A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, where he talks about, you know, basically Scrooge was, he was told by Marley's ghost that over the next 3 nights you would be visited by 3 different ghosts. Well, what we're doing is what exactly happened in that story, which is you squeeze all of those events into one night and you get done once. So here's some of the myths to think about when it comes to first date sex. Having sex on the first date will ruin it later. It doesn't necessarily. Even contrary to what I just said a minute ago about, you know, losing interest and, you know, the whole chase thing with guys, that's real. But at the same time, some guys won't feel that. They'll feel even more interested in a chick after they slept with her because it was actually pretty good and pretty cool and she seems like a cool chick and you want to reconnect. Having sex on the first date will not necessarily ruin it for later. You can go back and create a relationship out of it. It does happen all the time. Girls don't want a guy to move fast on the first date. That's another myth. All right. What they really want, what girls really want on that first date, is somebody who's bold, fearless, masculine, and takes leadership over the situation. It does not exclude sex on the first date. All right. Another myth that guys fall into or fall victim to is that she's not as into having sex as men. This one, you know, it's another one of those things I think it was invented by men to explain why they were screwing up with women all the time. Oh, it's not me. It's not my bad skills with women. It's her. She's a cold, frigid lesbo. Okay, put that stuff aside. These myths will only get in the way and make it harder for you to get to where you want to go. They're not true. Having sex on the first date will not necessarily ruin it. Girls do want guys to move along, at least at some pace. They'd have different rates, though, different paces, so you have to watch out for that. And she is into having sex, okay? But you've got to really amp up that energy on this first night meeting. Two factors to the SNL, or the same night lay. Number one is her self-esteem. First, her self-esteem has to come into play. Second is your cocky bad boy attitude. You see, if you're a nice guy, you're going to have a real struggle with this. It's going to be very difficult for you to push forward with the kind of aggressive intent that you need to have to get a woman into bed. Trust me, I've been there. I've played the bad boy role pretty extensively, and I know just how far I had to push the envelope, really far sometimes, to do this and to pull it off. Not always, but very frequently. You have to be really willing to go forward aggressively. You have to be more forward and dynamic with women. You've got to be really willing to ride some pretty wicked tides, as they call them, and be aggressive about moving forward. There has to be more sexual energy. There has to be more laughter and goofiness. There has to be more teasing and banter, the back and forth interaction that's very sexually charged. And you simply, it comes down to this. You can't bore a woman into going to bed with you. Let me say that again. You cannot bore a woman into going to bed with you. In other words, you can't get her into bed by boring the shit out of her. You get her there by being interesting, vibrant, dynamic, taking the lead, taking the sexual leadership role. All right? So be more forward and dynamic. You have to really realize that whatever you may be doing now, you're going to have to dial that bad boy up to 11 to get some of the one-night stands that you're looking for. Can you break a few eggs to make an omelet? This is a very important question. Can you break a few eggs in order to make an omelet? In other words, there will be points in the interaction with this woman, whoever it is, if you're targeting her for being like a woman that you want to sleep with tonight, there will be points where you need to make or break her as a prospect, okay? Meaning that she will either, she's not going to wind up as your friend. You got to be able to be willing to accept that she may not be your friend. Okay, or anything for that matter. You may never see her again, depending on how this goes. And are you okay with that? This should be your interaction going in with any woman, not just a woman you're trying to sleep with on the first night. All right, because let me say one more time that this is not something where we're trying to manipulate women. We're not trying to brainwash them. We're not trying to trick them. We're not trying to seduce in a way that's deceitful or dishonest. We're simply moving things forward more aggressively and with a much more focused purpose. And she will want to go along with that if it's right for her. All right? And if it isn't, well, then you don't. And we'll talk about that situation too. But remember that you got to be willing to break a few eggs if you're going to make an omelet, meaning that you got to be willing to accept that there's going to be some occasional damage for what you're doing. I don't mean damage to her. I mean damage to the possibility of keeping this girl interested in you. You may push it too hard and she's blown out and she's not interested anymore with you. It happens. And if that's okay with you, then you're in a good position mentally to do this. If you're not, if you're going to always be worried about, ooh, I don't want to go too far, I don't want to take that risk, I don't want to, if you're going to be there, you're going to have a tough time making this dynamic work for you because you'll always be fighting yourself. We are accelerating the timeline more aggressively. We're increasing the sexual charge. That's what this method is about. Accelerating the charge, moving quickly to the bedroom by being more aggressive and more assertive. You will not blow her out, but you have the ability to, you have to be able to push the envelope, rather, right? You're not going to blow her out. In other words, you're not going to totally destroy any chances of ever contacting her again. You got to be ready and willing for that because you can't predict women. But on the other hand, you won't blow her out or you won't totally destroy this person either. But you have to just be willing to push that envelope. How far can you push it? It's like having a jet fighter at your control. How far will you go when the jet starts falling apart? Are you going to eject? Are you going to be able to eject? Or are you going to ride that thing into a fireball? Not necessary. And remember, always, no means no. I shouldn't have to say this by now, but unless you want to end up with some other guy pressed against your back in a prison somewhere, and you're saying no instead of it being her, I suggest you never, ever push the physical limits with women. And you never ever force yourself on women sexually. You never need to go there. It never needs to be done. I'm assuming that most guys that get this program will never need to be told that, okay? It's just probably a simple state of fact there. But I need to put it out there. Remember that no means no. Take care of the obvious logistics. Here are the obvious logistics you must have in place before you go on this path. Personal hygiene. Work out before you meet her. Okay, this is a really, it's a good idea because what it does is it raises your energy level and it gets the testosterone built up. Shower before you meet her. You're going to shower because obviously you want to be clean, right? But again, the workout and shower combination is really good because it gets you in a certain physical space and mental space. And of course, there's the other stuff that I really shouldn't have to tell you about, but I'm going to mention it anyways. Breath. Take care of your breath. Make sure your hair is clean and cut. Make sure you're shaved. Make sure your nails are manicured. Your skin is taken care of. You've got some lotion on it. You know, take care of the obvious hygiene issues. If you don't know what these are, there's plenty of resources for you to get to be able to do that. This is not what this program is about, but make sure those basics are in place. Home hygiene. Your home has hygiene too. Let me tell you, if you're going to bring this woman back and you're going to make this into what you want it to be, have a home that's ready to go. First of all, make sure it's clean. That goes without saying. Clean the toilet, clean the bathroom. Big, big thing to do. Clean up the kitchen a little bit. No food laying around and no critters. Romantic atmosphere. Set this up in advance. Make sure you have candles. Make sure you have music on demand of some kind, whether it's from Pandora or your iPod or whatever. Make sure you have uninterrupted music, meaning music that doesn't have... Don't rely on the radio. Never turn on the radio because what happens when commercials come on? Your attention is drawn and it breaks the state. Music only. And of course, lighting. That goes back to candles in a lot of ways. But the ability to dim the lights down, really important. Make sure things are comfortable. Make sure you have pillows and things like that. Make sure you have the other logistics that most guys don't think about. Make sure you have water near your bed, water readily available, because making out and doing all those nasty little sex things uses up moisture. Have condoms, okay? And have those placed around the house. And of course, have an extra toothbrush for the stay over, okay? Once you have all that prep work in place, you're going to have logistics taken care of and your conscience can be free of the anxiety built around that. You're going to be ready. Being prepared is half the battle. Now here's the sequence. We're going to talk about the actual sequence for the first date sex process. Number one is date logistics. Where do you go, how far away from home you go, and where she meets you. You need to think of these things in advance, because if you screw these up, you can make it difficult to get to the first date sex that you're looking for. If you go someplace that's way far away from your home, and, you know, who drove? Did she drive or did you drive? I prefer to let the woman drive because then, of course, she has to come with me. You know, there's all these little logistical things that go into the one-night stand. You got to think about them. Where she meets you. Okay, here's where she should meet you. you have her meet you at your place. If you're the one to arrange things, and you should have, then you're going to have her meet you at her place, or have her meet you at your place. And you just say simply, hey, you know what? Let's meet up here since it's closer to wherever it is you plan to go. Then, if you can, it'd be cool if you could walk there or whatever, take a cab if you're in a city. Have her drive you to from your house. That's a great way to do it too, because now she has to come back to your place anyways. Don't let her come inside and poke around your house too long. You want to build up a little bit of mystery. What I like doing is I like when the woman finally arrives, is I have her come in for a second. I say, hang on a second, I just got to get some get a coat or whatever out of the closet, whatever. I invent something, but I just hang out here for a second. I'll be right back. And I let her stay there for a second so she looks around a little bit, because women are so curious this way. They'll look around the house a little bit, but she won't have an opportunity to do much. And after maybe 30 seconds or a minute, I'll come back and be like, okay, cool, let's go. That builds up a little bit of anticipation. She's wondering, what else is in this place, right? Attitude. You want to make sure that this attitude permeates your entire evening together. That this is, number one, totally normal. This is totally cool. And if for some reason she does shoot down the possibility of meeting at your place, it's no problem. It's no problem at all. Don't make it a big deal, because some women are going to be skittish about doing that. It's a sexual safety issue. Remember the whole sexual threat thing that's constantly running in her head. She may not be cool with that yet. She may not be that laid back. She may have some issues that you need to be aware of. So if you ask her and, you know, you try to make it as totally cool as possible, just be like, hey, let's meet up at my place. It's going to be closer to the bar when we go there anyway. So, and it's totally cool. All right, so there's logistics. I want you to consider where it is you're going to be going, how far away from your home, and what does that mean if she meets you there, or if she meets you at your house, or if you meet her at her house? Does she live with other people? What are the logistics of the situation? You have to know those in advance to make good decisions. So you got to start strong and warm. It's really important to start strong and warm with a woman when you get together with her, okay? This is part of the sequence, and it's really important because it's setting the precedent for what's going to happen later on. Most of the problems that you have with getting attraction started, if you're trying to get the, you know, the first date sex going on the first night, whatever it may be, it's almost always attributable to something you did very early on. You didn't start it out on the right foot. You didn't set the right precedent. You have to understand this, because what happens with a lot of guys, and these are guys that I've coached over the years, is that they get themselves to a certain bad point, a bad situation. It's just like in the martial arts when I'm teaching a self-defense technique. They ask me, well, what do you do? Because I had this guy and he had me like this. And, you know, they'll show me the situation they got into. And I'll look at him and I'll just say, seriously, don't get into that situation, okay? You let a certain series of events happen that put you in that bad situation. And now you're asking me to do damage control. And quite frankly, that's not going to help you. You should have done other things before that. So let's stop focusing on the wrong problem. The real problem is, for guys, especially with attraction, is getting things started off on the right foot. Start strong and start warm, okay? You got to greet her warmly. Start with a hug. I always do that. It's a minimum. If you don't start there, you're going to come across as being a little bit weak, a little bit unsure. You got to come in strong. This is a very strong, it's actually not very strong at all. It's actually very relaxed, and it's also to be expected. If she has a problem with it, it's not your fault. It's her problem. This is the thing that the guys also have to realize, is that when you go in and you go for these things that you may not be used to doing before, like going for a little hug first or even a peck on the cheek, you've got to be the one that goes in knowing that this is perfectly fine and okay. There's nothing wrong with it. If you're going in with the attitude of, geez, I hope she doesn't freak out when I do this, wrong mindset, my friend. That will actually cause more problems for you. That's the mindset we're trying to unplug from. So you give her a greet her warmly with a hug or a peck on the cheek would be really good if you can work up to that as well. Get her to come inside briefly. And what I want you to do is get her to come inside if you can. Don't do it like, you know, dangling some candy and trying to lure her in or anything like that. But you got to almost seem reluctant that you're doing this, okay? And you can say something like, you know, the house isn't exactly as clean as I'd like, but if you need to come in and use the bathroom, you're cool with that, you know? And she'll be like, oh, no, I'm fine. You're like, okay, cool. But if she says yes, you're going to be like, okay, come on in, but just promise me you're not going to give me a hard time about how messy the place is. Even if it's totally neat, you say that, okay? Because then she's going to be like, wow, this guy's got it together, okay? Offer her a drink. You know, if she comes in for a second, say, hey, you know what, if you want a drink before we go, make it very matter of fact, very casually, but again, don't come across with that, oh my God, I hope she doesn't freak out and think I'm a weird rapist. Because if you've got that floating around the back of your head, you're going to come across with a weird vibe. She's going to pick up on it, and yes, that's exactly what she's going to think. Remember, make sure she feels safe. Everything is about her safe, her safety. Her level of safety is the most important thing. Make her feel sexy, which again will in turn lead her to feeling sexual. That's how this works. If you make her feel like a very sexual creature that is attractive to men, she will want to bring that energy back to you in the form of sexual energy, playful or otherwise. Guys don't understand this. That's a prerequisite. Is if you don't make her feel very sexy, she's not going to want to be sexual with you. And again, make sure you're both relaxed. Being relaxed and cool and calm and it takes out 90% of the problems that guys end up putting into these situations. And that's the reason that most guys can't get the first date sex going, is because they're not relaxed. They're not coming across with the right vibe or the attitude that they need to. And they wonder then, when they're trying all these little artificial things to get her to, you know, sleep with them, why isn't it working? Now you know. All right, so that's the start. Should definitely be strong and warm. This number one and number two and number three that I'm going over with you here are essential steps in the process. If you don't do these things, you're going to set yourself up for, like I said before, damage control. You're going to put yourself in a bad situation. You're going to ask me how to get out of it. I'm going to look at you and say, fuck that. You shouldn't have gotten there in the first place, okay? It's the same thing. I'm always amazed by how close to martial arts this is. Whenever somebody asks me, hey, what do I do when I get in this situation? I look at them and say, why the hell would you get in that situation? Don't get in that situation. Do the right things first so you don't get there. And then we'll talk about how to get out of that situation, because you don't want to get there. If I spent all this time preparing you for the worst situations, which I still do, but if I spent all this time preparing you for this one really weird situation, you're really basically saying that you're not going to do anything good up until you get to this point. And that's not the way you treat this. You've got to treat this that right from the very start. You know, you get your hands on guard in the correct position. You don't let them get close to you like that. You don't let them get a grab like that. And you're going to be in a lot better situation overall. I hope that makes sense. All right. So number three is to... this goes back to the relaxation. You need to be more relaxed than she is. A lot of guys will pick up the nervousness that a woman has and they'll project it back onto themselves. That there's something wrong with him, that there's a reason she feels this way. It has nothing to do with you, okay? Seriously, the more relaxed that you are, more relaxed even so than her, seriously, to the point of almost seeming a little bit stoned, where you're kind of like, yeah, cool, you know? You know, I know this seems like total stoner, like, oh, dude. But really, when you get to that level, people totally see you as harmless. That's why people don't find stoners all that intimidating, is because they seem like totally harmless little love puppies that just want to sit around you and just be cool, dude. Everybody be excellent and cool with each other. You know, that relaxation level. Again, ever wonder why everybody loves a stoner? It's because they're like this. They're always so easy to get along with, so cool and chilled, and you can just kind of like be relaxed around them. So for you to be basically normal, be normal. Don't try and inject too much architecture or structure, okay? If you're using a lot of pick-up-y stuff, drop it, because it's getting in the way of you feeling natural and relaxed. Be cool. Just be cool. Remember when somebody would say that to you? Dude, just be cool. And you'd be like, oh yeah, okay, you're just being a little bit too uptight. Be cool. Fun and funny. Oh, by the way, I'm purposely not going to sit here and go through a litany of ways to be cool, because quite honestly, you know how to be cool. You just got to relax. All right, fun and funny. Fun and funny is essential. Be fun, be funny. That's really the heart of this in a lot of ways, because you can't be cool and not be fun and funny. You can't be relaxed and not be fun and funny. They're just incompatible. They're mutually exclusive. So be fun, have fun, be funny. This is also not a program in teaching you how to be a funny guy. If you want more of that stuff, you can go into my Alpha Conversation and Persuasion program, where I talk about that. There's a lot, or how to talk to women. I go through a whole module on that, but not here, okay? Masculine, be the man, okay? So when you're being relaxed, that doesn't mean you're being walked all over. It doesn't mean you're being a total pushover. It means you're being very structured in a lot of ways. You're being very, not structured even really, as much as you have firm boundaries, masculine boundaries. And again, this is no different than any other date except for the fact that, you can't be way off your stride. This is another thing I want to tell you about, and that is there are certain nights you will go out and you're just not going to feel on. For whatever reason, you're not going to feel on. And it is possible for you to recapture that on vibe, that on feeling of being, you know, in your groove. I'll give you an example. Today I was sparring, and I was on. I felt like I had energy. It took me a while to get there. I'm a little older, so I don't move as fast as I used to, but I was doing really good. I mean, better than half the class. I owned them. Now, it's not an ego thing for me. I'm not looking to beat people, but I am looking for more challenges that are going to tell me whether or not I could survive in a street fight situation. I need to know that. All right, and I know when I'm off my stride, it can affect you psychologically. You can't be way off your stride and expect to pull off a same night lay or a one night stand with a woman. Sometimes it just doesn't happen for you, and that's okay. Okay, so this is no different than any other date, except for you want to really make sure that you're relaxed and cool and on. Okay, there you go. So again, the three steps are to take care of the date logistics, start out strong and warm, and really be relaxed, be cool, calm, and collected for the process. All right, we're continuing with our discussion of the first date sex sequence and going through the different steps here. We went through the first three, the primary ones, which are the date logistics, how to start off strong and warm to really get yourself off to a running start. Being more relaxed than she is a component of the overall attitude and the way to set the tone of the evening. Now, we're going to talk about if you meet her elsewhere, if you can't set it up so that you really just can't meet her at your house for whatever reason, and you have to meet her maybe at the location that you're going to, it's the same thing. Really, everything happens the same way, only you just have to meet her somewhere where there's social proof, you feel as comfortable as you do at home, and it's relaxing and not anxious, okay? So you're going to set it up in a way that you go someplace that offsets the fact that you couldn't get her to go to your house to start out with. Social proof meaning they know you. You go to places where they know you, just like the bar in Cheers, right? You want to go someplace where everybody knows your name, where you are the popular guy, where you can get an immediate boost of credibility based purely on them knowing you, right? And that's why we set up these things in advance. You get to know people at the bars that you frequent, the restaurants that you go to, the places that you like to take chicks. You're going to want to know them there, right? Make sure that you feel as comfortable as you do at your own house, because this is important. Psychologically, you need to feel comfortable in order to get into that space with a woman where you can really work seduction. It's relaxing and not anxious. Wherever you take her, make sure that it's a relaxing spot, not an anxious or high energy spot, because both can work to your favor depending on how you use them, but you got to start out relaxed to get that warmth that you would have had if you've been able to meet at, say, your house. All right, so not a big deal here, not a big difference, but you want to replace some of the elements that are missing with wherever it is you decide to go first. And that can be just a temporary starting off point, right? That's all it has to be. It's the place that you're substituting for your house. So make it a lounge, make it a club, I don't care what it is, a bar actually, or someplace that you go to where you can set up that initial environment the way you would have done if she had met you at your house. Talk about some highly charged topics. This is where you talk about things that brings up the energy level of the interaction. I always start with pop media. Okay, who's in the news? Who's the hottest, latest person to be talking about? Who's on the cover of People magazine? You know, I don't have any interest in this stuff, but it does work for her. Remember, I'm thinking in terms of the other person's interest. Drama with actors and actresses, and who's doing this or that, or Jennifer Aniston and her ridiculous life. You know, this woman is such a non-issue in my life. She doesn't produce any good movies, and yet she's like one of the most highly desired and sought after people that women want to know more about. It just boggles my mind. But hey, that's her gig. If I get into the position of being self-righteous and being all, Jennifer Aniston, what a slut, dude. I can't believe you read magazines with that bitch on the front. Okay, what do you think you're setting yourself up there for? Yeah, you're not setting yourself up for first night sex. You're setting yourself up for a short night date. So drama with actors and actresses is a great way to start off a conversation. You can start off a conversation and put it in there about sex, but very indirectly. When you get comfort and obvious interest from the woman, in other words, she's cool, maybe she's laid back, maybe she's more fun, she's a low resistor, and you're talking to her, then you can do things like talk about sexual history and turn-ons. You want to get this into the conversation as quickly as you can without it seeming A, weird, be unnatural and just kind of out of left field, right? Or unwanted. Make sure she's willing to go there before you do, but keep it indirect, okay? One of the things I like talking about are my friends. Like, I had this friend that I would always bring into the conversation. He was really into sex toys, and he was like always buying something new, and he was always freaking me out about saying, yeah, you want to borrow my sex swing? I'd be like, yeah, and about 250 cans of Lysol, you know, just making fun of it like that. But having fun with those topics is a good way to bridge yourself into talking about them. So let me tell you this. Let me ask you this. So you could ask her, so let me ask you this. What is the freakiest thing one of your friends has ever told you she did? Okay, now you're getting into sexual topics, but it doesn't involve her directly. It's her friends, and it allows you to bridge into the bigger topic. You want to get sex into the conversation. Don't get caught up in these PUA gambits. And PUA gambits are the ones where they try and talk about certain things that are very pickup-y, okay? You've got to be careful about how you do this. Don't get caught up in a lot of the pickup artist strategies here. We're going along a slightly different route, and you have to be careful and aware of that. You can compliment, strategically compliment. By that I mean, don't compliment her directly, compliment her decisions, her choices. The things she's choosing to wear, the things she's choosing as jewelry are always great places to start. Never compliment her physical features. You have such beautiful eyes. What a gorgeous set of lips you have. Boy, I would like to put my dick in them. No, you don't want to start there, right? You want to be able to go into this complimenting very strategically. So bringing up highly charged topics is the way to get things moving. You've got to get it off into, it's like when you first drive a car with standard transmission. You're skipping first gear and you're starting that car from a dead stop. You're getting moving forward in second gear. Try some divination. This is always great. There's so many tools here to use. I'm just going to give you a few of them. You may have heard of the Cube. I cover that in a bunch of my other programs and how that works as a personality or divination tool. When I talk about divination, I'm really talking about fortune telling and things like that. Palm reading, awesome, awesome tool. Cannot recommend it enough. It's easy to learn, and you can totally BS your way through it, honestly, if you had to. Handwriting analysis, another excellent strategy for meeting women and, again, getting connection there, because it's actually very legitimate and it's really fun, because women love anything that gives them insight into their character that confirms what they knew or maybe something they didn't know. Doesn't matter. Astrology, really, really good. Astrology is a very important divination tool on the whole. It's one of those ones that just everybody falls back to over and over and over again. Women just love it. You know, it's something that's kind of a joke out of the 70s, but here we are in the early 2000s, and it's still a very, very big thing for women. That ability to know something that is foretold in the stars, really big. Use a lot of Keno games. Use these in your first date. Things like thumb wrestling. Really important, because you want to get physical interaction, you want to get physical touch started, and you want to get competitiveness so you get some energy going. Reflex drills. There's a thing called hot hands, where one person has their hand like this, and the other person has to slap the other hand before the other person can pull it away. That's a great reflex drill, and it's fun, too. Use testing Keno in your conversations. What do I mean by this? When you say something, you emphasize a point by touching her at the same time you say it. So you're talking about somebody that you know, maybe it's somebody in your family, and you're like, look, I got to tell you, my mom, and you put your hand on her arm right when you say that, my mom, you would not believe what she did the last week, and you pull your hand away. You use your touch for emphasis and in building strength in the communication. It's really important, and the places you do are you touch her arms, shoulders, and back. Now, if she gives you any sign of recoil, then it's off, okay? You immediately stop doing that, and you immediately go back to fun building in the conversation. Again, if you've done well up to this point, it's very rare that a woman's going to totally shrink back from your touch unless you're doing it in a very unnatural way and you're poorly calibrated. So again, look at yourself with the eyes of reality. Now, multiple venue changes are another important part of this. What are multiple venue changes? Meaning that you need to go to a minimum of two different places on this date, a maximum of, say, three or four. Because the more places you go with her, the more you're expanding that feeling of familiarity, because you're going along on a journey with each other. There's travel to get to those points. There's the experience of first entering them, then finding someplace comfortable, and then settling in, and then getting up and leaving. There's a whole psychological path that occurs while you do that. And you want her to be with you at the same time, because it creates an association, and then it creates a sense of familiarity. Now, you still need to be someplace long enough, though, to get her feeling good, so don't rush this. Don't feel like, oh, Carlos said I had to be at least three different places tonight. Where are we going to go? Okay, let's get this beer done and let's go to... No, you don't want to rush. You want to get some sense of comfort just before it would be boring. That's really the gauge, you know. Just before you feel like it would start to get a little too boring, you want to get up and go. You want to be able to get to a make-out or making out with a woman by halfway in the date. Some point halfway in that evening, you want to get to the point where you're kissing at least a first kiss, but more than that. All right? And if you can't do that, it's a good indicator that you probably can't go where you want to go in that date. Okay, so you want to get to a make-out by about halfway. The first kiss. Here's your first kiss strategy. This is a very simple tactic to get to the first kiss as fast as possible. First of all, no earlier than 90 minutes into the interaction. Okay, we don't want to rush things too fast. That's as far as we need to go. You look at her and you say, "Do you lean left or do you lean right?" And you have a little smirk on your face when you say it. Then you lean right with your head. She will probably lean left with hers. You want to move your whole body towards her slowly. Your mouth is slightly open. And you want to kiss her. It's that simple to get the kiss. And then as you pull away, just lick the end of her tongue gently as you pull away. In other words, you're not going to do the tongue thrusting into her mouth thing. You're just going to give her a really wet, warm kiss. Not slobbery wet, but wet. Press your lips to hers. And as you pull away, that's when you slip her a little bit of the tongue on the pull away. It's one motion and it's no longer than 2 seconds long. All right? Think about that. 1001, 1002. That's how long your lips are in contact, no more than that. Now, if she responds and smiles, you just keep your eye contact with her, and the game is on. It's that simple. If she's into it and she keeps going with you, and she seems to be genuinely interested in keeping the kiss going, then by all means, keep going. Otherwise, you just smile, pull away, and move on to something else that's fun. That's it. And if you're at your place, you can keep going as far as you like to go, all right? So if you manage to somehow engineer that one of those places you're going to this evening, out of the two or three different places, is your house and you're there and this happens there, fantastic. But if you're out, you're just going to have to keep her wanting more, which means you got to keep up more. You got to be aware that if you're out and about at restaurants or bars or whatever, wherever you may be, you can't keep going, because if you do, you're going to satisfy something that can't be taken any further. So you have to cut it off and leave her really, really wanting more, so that it's a driving factor to get back to her place and get back to your place. All right, so there you go. Simple strategy for the first kiss. It will get you it most of the time. I have to say that's been the most successful strategy I've used, and I've never revealed that before until now. All right. So getting to the makeout, what about follow-ups? What are follow-ups? Follow-up kisses are the ones that come after it. They should be more and more heated. You start accenting the kiss with different touches. In other words, you're not going to just kiss her now. You're going to put your hand on the small of her back. Put your arm around her waist. Put your hands on both of her hips. You're going to press forward so that your thigh is right where her groin would be, right where her crotch would be, okay? And without obviously rubbing her with it, but you press there. Back of the neck, your hand on the back of her neck, extremely sexual touch. This is going to be stuff that's going to drive her nuts. You're going to have a tough time fighting her off if you do this correctly. Those are how you handle the follow-up kisses. All right, handling the worst case. The worst case scenario is, you know, she refuses, but she does it nicely. And this is the way most women will do it, okay? You got to realize the game is still on here, right? The game has not been canceled on account of rain. The game is still on. She just wants to exercise her control. Women will do this. The other reason, or the other possible reason that she wants to do it, other than, you know, she just wants to control, the other reason is that maybe you missed a step along the way in establishing the attraction and trust she needs to feel comfortable going forward. Those are really the only two situations that come up. One is out of your control, because she just wants to feel control, and she wants to do it just for the sake of, I could shut things down if I want to. And she does need to know this. She needs to know you'll respect that, and you'll be okay with it, and you won't turn into a brat. Or she really does feel like this isn't right, and for whatever reason, she needs more attraction, more trust build up. Okay? In that case, you're going to have to step back and handle it. But there's another situation that could happen. This is the, you know, she refuses, but she stays nice about it, which means you're still in the game totally. What if she refuses and she turns a little bit cold? All right, well, the game is about to be called out on account of freezing rain in this situation. You need to figure out how you can still have fun without relying on what her mood is. Here's what happens. A woman, the guy's moving forward, and for whatever reason, he can't keep going forward with the physical escalation. She refuses on him, but she gets cold. She turns cold. She starts to stop talking quite as much. She starts to cross her arms in front of her chest and, you know, just does the cold thing. Well, this is the point where you have to either go one of two routes. You're either going to let this ruin your night because you're not getting what you want out of it, and you're like, oh, damn, I screwed up, or you get pissed and like, ah, damn, I screwed up, but she's a bitch. No, that's not the case here. You got to figure out how you can still have fun in the situation without relying on whatever her mood might be after that point. Because I'm assuming you went to this point and you didn't do it disrespectfully. You did it with a fair amount of awareness, and you didn't do it aggressively to hurt her or anything like that. Some women will just react this way. Remember, again, your happiness is up to you. And this is where a lot of the guys use the freeze-out technique, okay, of, you know, just saying, okay, fine, whatever, you want some TV? You know, turn on the TV and just totally disconnect from it. Be like, you're not going to ruin my night. We had our fun as much as we had, and, you know, okay, if you're going to freak out about it, you know, there's a good chance that you can sense right now whether or not you're ever going to see this girl again. A lot of guys are going to get the vibe of, you know what, I'm probably never going to see her again. Oh, well, give it up now rather than get yourself all worked up over nothing. But if you're going to let yourself get caught up in the game where you got to win, you got to save this one, you're going to put yourself on a very losing track, my friend. So be careful. Figure out how you can still have fun with the rest of the night without relying on whatever her mood might be, because you'll probably eventually get her to turn back around. And at some point, you got to call her on and say, look, you know, I don't know what happened there. I was just having fun. You were enjoying it. I was enjoying it. If this is not working out for you anymore, why don't I just take you home, you know? Otherwise, snap out of it. Let's have some fun, you know? And you may have to call her on it like that. You may have to call her on her bullshit and just tell her what is going on, because a lot of women think they can get away with bullshit like that and manipulate you, quite honestly. They're going to expect you to somehow come around and be, you know, all apologetic for basically wanting the same thing she wants. Maybe she's a high resistor in the spectrum, right? And she's one of those girls just freaks out because, hey, the reality is men want sex and so do women. She just can't come to terms with her own sexual awareness and sexual desire. It happens. All right, so those are the two scenarios. Those are the worst, I call them worst case scenarios. And if you can handle those, you're going to be ready for them when they happen. And you should be ready for them. Inoculate beforehand. What are we talking about here? Well, when you sense that you're getting positive progress, tell her, you know what? We should go back to my place so you can hear that CD that you were interested in, right? You're trying to get set up. The reason why, she might really like you and refuse this offer, and that does happen from time to time, so do recognize that. But more often, she just knows what it will mean. She knows what that offer implies, and she just needs a good reason for her rational mind to follow through with it. Sexually, she wants you, but she can't make that obvious. She can't be saying, oh yes, so we can go back to your place and have sex. Indeed, that should be what we do. It's not going to happen like that. She needs to have that other reason, the other one on top of it that gives it adequate smoke and camouflage. So giving her that reason is what your job is all about. She's not going to give you that reason. You're going to have to do it. So you just say something like, again, finding out what the reason is that you'd want to go back anyways, and going back and having fun. It's not too difficult of a process to go through, not hard at all once you understand what it is the woman's looking for. She simply needs a reason why. This is going to raise the specter of what I call sex tonight. What is the sex tonight specter? Well, talking about sex or talking about why you're going back would obviously raise that whole issue of you're going to have sex. So don't start talking about it. Just, again, shut up. Don't talk. No, really, shut the fuck up, okay? Some guys get all guilty at this point, and they'll get into a point where they're like, you know what? I understand if you want to, you know, slow down. Please, let that stuff go, okay? Don't talk yourself out of success. Let's go back to my place or your place. What you're doing is you're avoiding sexual connotations. You're avoiding the implications of, hey, we're going to have sex. You have to give her that plausible deniability. That's why we're inoculating. That's why we're going through these steps the way we are. So we're not talking about the sex. We're leaving that as being the, duh, of course it's going to happen. Just keep following along with me. It's okay. Give her a plausible deniability that she has that says, you know what? It wasn't my fault. I was caught up in the moment. It was awesome. But, you know, I didn't do it. It was all him. That's okay. So avoid those obvious sexual connotations or those things that say, you know what, sex is about to happen. You don't need to state it overtly or otherwise. And don't need to get guilty about it. Again, you want to get to a makeout by about halfway in the conversation. We talked about that. Back at your place or her place, no mood lighting and very white. In other words, let's not go crazy on the mood lighting and throwing on immediately obvious music. I'm reminded of those scenes in the Austin Powers movies where it would immediately switch into love mode. You know, his big bed would come out and the lights and the sexy music would start up. You don't have to go that far, okay? But, you know, light a candle, put something on TV, maybe some comedy, make it a warm atmosphere, but don't go obviously into rico suave mode. Don't rush to get back to making out with her again. So once you're back at your place or her place, don't rush to get back to where you left off, thinking that if you just hurry up, you can get back there and seal the deal. Respect the rule of three. What is the rule of three? If she slows down you down three times, it means no first date. Sleep over here. No sex is going to happen, probably. Three times, you got to respect that. Once, you can just be like, okay, back off, go back in. Twice, depending on how she did it. Three times, it's over. Game is called right there. The referee's going to say, you're out. Game over. Okay? Not necessarily game over, honestly, because you could definitely go back and get back together with this woman again, but got to respect that rule of three. Remember, if she won't have sex with you, that's fine. Your attitude is always about that. If you are so invested in this need to have sex on the first date, chances are you probably won't get it. I'm giving you a path to get there with a minimum of fuss, but only for the guys who really don't need it. That's the funny thing. Sex on the first date usually happens when you don't need it or you don't pursue it that hard. Monitor for feedback along the way. I'm going to close up the sequence there. That's how the process goes. But monitor for feedback. She's going to give you a signal with her attitude as to how well things are going. Closed off means you need to work on trust. If she's open, you're doing fine, and just keep going. Just don't get reactive. When things change, like she may close off a little bit, don't get reactive and then get into a scramble to try and capture and fix and save. Don't get reactive that way, because when you do that, she knows that she's manipulating you with strings like a puppet. Don't do that. But she will give you signals with her attitude that you should watch for that tell you where you're at. She must always be open and relaxed and cool and chill and having a good time. When you start feeling those closed off things, there's something there and you need to address it. If you don't address it, it simply shuts you down later on. One way or the other, it shuts you down. Now, what stops her? What is it that will stop her from having first night sex? Well, it was a lot of things, you know. Guys wussing out and backing off and feeling guilty will definitely stop her from wanting to have sex with you. He gets too nice all of a sudden, you know, thinking he's doing something wrong. He starts to feel guilty, like, oh my God, I shouldn't be doing this to women. Oh, all those feminists, they were right. This is wrong. Men are bad. Okay, drop that shit. We don't need any more of that crap in our heads. The state gets broken and she pulls away. This is another reason that really stops her from wanting to go all the way on that first date. Her state gets broken. You got to keep up the sexual tension, but again, don't rush. Some guys push it too hard and they break state and they break it so that she's like, whoa, like she's woken up from a dream. What am I doing? What, dude, oh, you're being kind of a dick. I don't want this. Ah, and she freaks out. That's the state you're trying to avoid, right? We're trying to leave a very pleasant veil of, not deception, but the ability, again, to keep up that plausible deniability, that she's just going along with what's natural. No trust is a big, big, big factor in what stops a woman. Having no trust for the guy that she's with. Having no comfort. Trust and comfort are not necessarily the same thing, by the way. Okay? The guy can be be trustworthy, but at the same time not be making her feel very comfortable. No chemistry or attraction. Okay, the big three. Some women just decide no sex in advance, like that girlfriend I was telling you about. They just decide it for no good reason. Sometimes it's her period. Keep in mind that 4 out of 5 days out of every 28 are her period. That's almost like it could be up to a fifth of her month is taken up by that. And sometimes women are not going to be willing to go forward when they're in that state. Okay? Sometimes it's PMS. Sometimes it's just those premenstrual syndrome systems that are going on in her body of hormones and weirdness that stop her from wanting sex. And just her timing in her period and the timing of her entire menstrual cycle will make a big difference. I think it's, five or six days before a woman's period starts is when she's the most fertile, and that's when she also dresses the most seductively, whether she knows it or not, and typically she doesn't realize it. Okay, so there's a lot of factors that will lead to a shutdown of that first night's sex. Don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. If you do this right, you probably won't break the egg. You probably will be able to go back and try again and get success. But be willing to understand that there's a lot of things in your way, and it has to be handled with a lot of forward, assertive energy to get to the bedroom that quickly with a woman. And I want you to make sure you read the book, I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell, by Tucker Max. It's one of those books that, while not giving you a whole bunch of understanding about what it is that's successful with women, you can see what a jerk attitude can do when it comes to being an extreme bad boy with women and how fast women will sleep with guys. It helps build up your belief system around women actually wanting sex and wanting to sleep with guys quickly. Very, very hysterical book, because some of the adventures he has in there, I'm just like, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. Really good book just to read to understand that one aspect. All right, there's the first date sex program, if you will. Follow it, but at the same time, be very flexible and willing to go off of it if things don't go that direction. I gotta say, it's a tricky path. I've had lots of women I've slept with on the first night, and typically it's all been about one thing and one thing only. Moving forward really, really assertively with a woman who is obviously into me. All right, next. Last but not least, after sex. I want to cover a few of the things that I didn't quite touch on in the last section in psychology when I talked about this that I want to cover now and reiterate. Keep in mind that women need validation, reassurance, and more comfort after sex. It's really, really important. She's going to test you with texts and calls and phone calls and emails. She's going to test you to see where you're at. And you need to be responsive. You need to respond to her. If you wait because you're like, oh man, yeah, that's that chick I slept with. Okay, you're going to create a very bad situation. Don't play the pre-sex or post-sex games that people play. All right, there's a lot of games out there with that. Don't need to do it. You don't need to. What's going to happen is that abandonment fears are going to hit her very hard. This is a natural thing for women. The first thing they fear or sense fear of after sex is, oh my God, he's going to leave me. He's going to leave me with this child that I can't raise on my own. Okay, you didn't get her pregnant, but that's what's going on in her head from her evolutionary psychology. So abandonment fears will hit her hard. It'll happen. You got to recognize that. So the best thing you can do is just text her in the morning, or even better, call her up. Okay, be a gentleman about this. Don't be afraid of confrontation. Only wusses can't stand to hear another person's voice for what might happen. Text her in the morning, a little something, just to kind of make her feel good. Just say, hey, want to let you know I was thinking of you. Hope you're having a great morning. That's all you got to do, dude. Seriously, and most guys will not do that. I was thinking of a situation that relates directly to this. We get these, my girlfriend and I, we get these air fresheners for our cars, and I really like them because they smell awesome. But they come from an Asian supermarket. Okay, my girlfriend's Asian, so please don't take anything I'm saying as being racist here, but she knows it too. On these packages, the packages don't make any sense. It's like, you know, they didn't think about this. The name of the air freshener is called My Sheldon. My Sheldon. What the hell kind of a name is that? Now, this company only had to do one little thing and avoid a very big marketing error there when they were trying to cross market to English-speaking people. This is all they had to do. They had to go and ask one English-speaking person, what do you think about My Sheldon is the name for this product in English. And they would look at him and go, that's stupid. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Who in the hell would name that? What does that mean? That's ridiculous. And that's what I would have told them. That's all they had to do. But you know what this company did? They were too caught up in their, we know what's best. Oh, we will, you know, and they're speaking Chinese or Japanese or whatever it is they're speaking to each other as they're doing this. And they're saying, oh, we're going to call it something like My Sheldon, you know. Whatever the rationale is, it simply didn't involve any outward connection with reality. A lot of guys do this when it comes to women too. They don't want to have any connection to reality. In some ways, it's happier in their brain where they're thinking all this stuff, and they don't want to confront reality. And what do? They avoid interaction with people or the possibility of confrontation. And you know what happens when you do that, right? Remember my saying about reality? Reality has teeth. It will bite. Just in the morning, text her. It's the least you can do. And even better is just to give her a quick call. Don't worry, you're not going to get some sort of long emotional thing of any kind. And the worst case is you hang up. All right, it's the worst thing that happens. You got to call within 24 hours, man. You got to do it. If you don't, you're either being a dick or, you know, something else happened there that just, it's just not necessary. And even in the worst dick syndrome situations, you can still call her up. Don't play games. I don't care what other pickup artists say about this one. Just call her within 24 hours. Don't be a dick. If you try to be the cool pickup artist, chances are you're probably never going to see her again or have her again, sleep with her again. If that's what you want, you can have it, but you can't if you don't play the game by the right rules. And recognize that very often, if you do want to see this woman again, she's going to want to do something non-sex related for the date after the date where you had sex. Why is this? Because she wants to prove that, first of all, it's not built on sex, all right? So don't be surprised if the next date does not lead to sex in any way. In fact, you should plan on it not. I almost always make sure that it doesn't happen on the second date because I know what's going through a woman's mind. She's worried. It's better, again, that you set it up so that sex is actually unlikely on the second date. That will relieve her psychologically of the anxiety and tension around that. Really, really good step to take. You set it up so that the second date has no chance of sex happening, and that's going to make her actually very happy. Because number one, it's going to show that you're not basing the entire relationship around sex. And number two, it gives you a chance to relax, let your hair down, so to speak, and reconnect. Really big thing for women, especially for one that you want to keep dating. All right? Really a good step to do. There you go. That's a lot of stuff. The sexual roadmap is a big, big, big section. Okay, so join me in the next section where we're going to be talking about sexual communication. We're going to be going through all the various aspects of how to communicate sexually and how to energize your conversation and your interactions with women with as much sexual power and influence as you possibly can. The sexual roadmap section of this program covered a lot of detail, and I have a feeling it's probably a really important one for you in mapping out the precise steps along the way, or what I call the stepping stones to sexual success. We talked about the process of learning, the four stages, the unconsciously incompetent, the consciously incompetent, the consciously competent, and then the unconsciously competent, the progression you want to go through there. The elevation of your social status, the different kinds of social power, and how you network and build your power. And it was a brief summary. The handling of stepping stones, how they actually work. What the escalation roadmap is, the 10 steps to, I guess, from start to finish, soup to nuts, if you will, of meeting women and creating any kind of relationship with her. As well as the physical escalation markers. You know, what are the specific things you can look for to know that you're getting success with women? Things like eye contact, physical contact, a hug, a kiss, sexual suggestive contact, heavy petting, sex, all of that stuff is built up in there. The emotional escalation model that I gave you, which basically describes how we go from not knowing a woman at all to any level of, well, eventually, devotion and commitment, if you want to go that far with a woman. Where to go and when, I outlined the entire timeline of connecting with a woman, what you want to do and when you want to do it, and how you want to handle that pattern and knowing what to do. The end game strategies, the end game being the zone that you're basically within just a few minutes of getting to the sexual goal that you want with a woman. How to handle that and know what to do at every stage there. The elements of first date sex. Basically, I gave you a roadmap for if you want to go all the way with a woman as fast as possible, the fastest possible path to do that. And of course, that's something that you have to make sure your head's on straight about, because a lot of guys have the problem that they think they're tricking women in order to have a one-night stand with her, when in fact, that's not the case at all. Women will gladly have a one-night stand with a man that they find sexually attractive. But again, this model is the most compressed model, and all you have to do is expand it if you want it to take longer. And that's all it takes, is basically taking a little bit longer with the same steps, and you'll get the same sexual success. We also talked a little bit about the after sex model one more time, because there's more detail there as far as what you want to do after you get to success, because that's going to be happening for you very soon, and you need to know what to do at that point. Because any element of insecurity or a lack of confidence or a lack of understanding, or it becomes a fear of the unknown, will sabotage you all the way back to the start again. So there you go. There's the sexual roadmap. We covered quite a bit of information in there, a lot of specifics, so please review that one. I think it's very technical in a lot of ways, so you do need to listen to it a few times. Make sure you go through all of the steps, listen to the progression, get a good bird's eye view of it in your head. In other words, you should have like this mental feeling of, ah, okay, I've got the big picture. I understand how it works. Start to finish, I shouldn't have any problems knowing where I am in that progress. And that whole process of going from just having first eye contact with a woman all the way to, who knows, maybe the vows at the altar, oh love, or, you know what, just a lot of fun. So there you go. Those are the steps for the sexual roadmap. Move on now, please, to the sexual communication portion of the program.